listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I met this girl when I was 10 years old, and what I love most, she has so much soul. She was old school when I was just a shorty, never knew throughout my life that she would be there for me on the regular. Not a church girl, she was secular, not all about the money, no studs was my checking her, but I respected her. She hit me in the heart. A few New York niggas had did her in the park, but she was there for me, and I was there for her, put out a chair for her, turn on the air for her, and just cool out and listen to her. Sitting on bone, wishing that I could do it. Eventually, if it was meant to be, then it would be because we was related physically and mentally, and she was fun. Then I'd be geek when she come around. Slim was fresh, yo, when she was underground original, pure untampered, a down sister. Boy, I tell you, I miss her. Yes, yes, y'all. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Also on Black Guy Who Tips Day.
Yes.
And also on our anniversary.
Yes.
So it's like, you know what I'm saying? Feedback, anniversary, second annual of the Black Guy Who Tips Day. If you got some Black Guy Who Tips gear, if you got a mug, if you got whatever.
Sure, it don't matter.
You know. Poster. Take a picture of it, put it online, let folks know you wearing us. It. Go outside today in your Black Guy Who Tips shirts
tell your family,
and stuff.
Tell your friends.
Let people know that, you know, like, hey, they might be like, oh shit, I recognize that girl. I ain't know you were in this. You never know how they gonna react to it. You know, you might find the love of your life today. You'd be like,
you
what?
Never know.
You listen to them niggas too. You know what I'm saying? You already know y'all both say nigga if y'all listen to this. So
come on.
I'm just saying. Black Guy Who Tips Day, man. Make sure you celebrate it with the people that you love and spread some love out there. We appreciate everybody that does talk about it. Use the hashtag TBGWT because that way we see it on Twitter and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Instagram and whatnot. And we track that stuff and we, you know, retweet and share and spread all that stuff because we love to see y'all showing love like that.
We do.
You know, it's a big deal what we're doing. And like I said, it's our second annual one of these, like, you know, we figure we make it on a day where we don't have to remember a new day.
Come
it's
on,
already significant.
Y'all, it's enough days I got to remember. I ain't gonna lie,
it's already significant to both of us. And you know, this is our 15th anniversary, so
I know I didn't realize I knew it had been that long, but it just snuck up because it don't feel like it.
Yeah, 15 years ago we went to the Justice of the Peace.
Come on,
with my parents, your mama was witnesses. Mm-hmm. And went out to McCormick and Schmitz afterwards.
Yeah, tried to get it before that, but the courthouse was like, y'all need witnesses, and they can't be the other two niggas was trying to get married too. Like, y'all need somebody else.
You know, we went to, the apartment, our first apartment. We had only moved in there. I think we'd only been there one night.
Two nights at the max, if that long.
Cause, I remember being so tired from moving everything that day. And then Labor Day was like a Monday. And we had the day off for both of our jobs.
I had to work.
Oh, you worked that day? Okay, so we had the day off from my job. Mm-hmm. And Karen had to work. She was a waitress at IHOP. Mm-hmm. So, you know, waitresses don't get days off like everybody else. And after that, she came home and we went to the Justice of Peace. And, you know, came back home to our futon.
Come on.
You know, we had to buy a washer and dryer from Best Buy. On credit, on credit.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Who wasn't balling? Who wasn't big balling? Okay.
They were, I wasn't grown yet. So they got the match. I was like, nigga, do they work? Well, right. They don't match. I don't give a fuck if they match. Are they the cheapest thing and they run?
Yeah, I think we got the open box special.
We did. We was like, what's on sale, my nigga?
Right. So we had that, you know, we hooked all that stuff up, you know, for the first time. You know, moving with the furniture we brought from our, you know, our houses, you know, from
yeah,
we stayed with
like
our parents.
Basically from your house.
yeah, that's true. You know, it was crazy at the time. Like, Karen was having some issues at home and stuff. So it was like, you know, it wasn't no, like, get the fuck out shit, but it was basically like, get the fuck out shit.
Right.
And, you know, I was like, why are we stressing? You know we want to be together. Ooh. We got engaged in college. It's like,
yeah, we did.
You know, I'm not scared to do this, and we never really wanted a wedding, so we didn't really do a wedding.
Mm-mm.
We just, we went Justice of Peace, and yeah, that was history, man. So, you know, we made it through a lot of stuff over these 15 years.
A whole lot of stuff. And also, I think it was not stressful at all. I only had this outfit, but you know, this is back in the day, I had me a skirt set that I wore with some pink sandals. That was my outfit.
Like, it was you know, easy breezy, fill out the paperwork and take it from that. So it was you know, it's been a minute, but it doesn't feel like it, man. Still happy to be in love, you know, after all this time. You know, you see a lot of people fall by the wayside, you see a lot of people's lives change, people grow together, people grow apart, all that stuff. You know, I don't really have much advice for people. I think a lot of this is about temperament,
right?
Luck,
everybody's commitment. Personality is different. Cause I went to work the next day, I didn't tell nobody. And somebody, I guess I seen the wedding band on my hand. I was like, "You got married?" I was like, "Yes." They was like, "Why you take the time?" I was like, "Nigga, bills don't stop."
Yeah, I didn't tell anybody at my job, you know. And they went out and like they saw the ring. They were insulted. I didn't tell them. I was like, to be honest, you know, I don't know y'all niggas like that. But two, it wasn't really y'all business, and I wasn't really 100% sure when we were gonna do it. But you know, that's how easy breezy we were about it. It was like, we should just do it as soon as we can. And you know, even you know, even my the people that worked at my job were very much like, well, let's take up a collection. They bought me, like, they gave me a bunch of money, and we went and bought our first vacuum cleaner, like something practical with the money.
Yeah, and we got a lot of help over the years. You know, it's not easy.
Nah,
being married young, because we got married young. What, 22? Yeah, 22. Rodney was 23. No. We both 22 because you turned 23 September 23rd, and we were really young. And it's funny though, because a lot of times, like, younger people, the people ask me, "Should I get married?" I tell them no, and everybody look at me like I'm the crazy one. I'm like, y'all, it's a lot of work. Don't step in this half hearted. Most of the time, it put like this: if you got to ask somebody, the answer is probably no, because if you know in your heart that this is what you need to do, you're going to do it. You're not really going to ask around to kind of get confirmation of whatever your answer is. So,
well, you know, everybody's different.
That's true.
Some people might need some advice. Some people might have to ask, you know. It's just everybody's different, man. I know everybody's path isn't the same.
Correct.
You know, I think, you know, and a lot of stuff is just, especially in the internet age, it's a little bit different because people share so much now. People rely on other people a lot more. But, you know, we had a lot of help, you know, through like, we've had little stuff, financial shit, cars break down, you know, you had to take out a loan, you know, I took a loan out for my parents, and paid them back like super fast, cause I hate owing people anything. Mm-hmm. And even if it's my parents and that's what they there for, it's still, you know, I hated that, you know, but sometimes you have to like swallow your pride and do stuff like that, you know. It's certain things that you might want to do for like your career, you know, certain things you might want to do for just a hobby. You have to take another person into account for that stuff, you know. And I think you see over the years, like, certain people, you know, they can't do it, or, you know, you make a selfish decision and then this, like, your household has to deal with the repercussions of that stuff.
Correct.
You know, so it's definitely not necessarily, I wouldn't say it's, to me personally, it hasn't felt difficult. I know everybody likes that cliche, but it hasn't been very difficult for me. It's been one of those things where like life is just gonna throw curveballs at you, and you think you have a plan, you just don't know what the plan is gonna be. Mm-hmm. You don't know where you're gonna be, but you know, I couldn't have picked a better person to be in this life with. And especially, you know, I still remember when you had that Jerry Curl shining in front of the bus.
I'm on the soul glow,
I knew it, then.
It was real, y'all. Mm-hmm. And also, something I can say, shout out to your parents, because one thing I can say about your mom and dad, they have really been there for us through the years. And it's one of those things where a lot of our cars literally was day old cars. Like, right. I'm not even gonna lie, we was like, "Oh, y'all get a new car, we'll take that one. Oh, y'all get a new car, here, what's the value for it? We'll pay you back, you know, for that." It's because everybody's different, but I try to be very practical and reasonable when it comes to making big purchases. So I was like, hey dog, I don't want to spend no more than we got to spend. Because, you know, as
for
far
what?
For financially, like, we're not the same now.
No, I mean, but on what? Like,
yeah,
what?
Well, like with the vehicle stuff, like, we purchase from your debt versus going out and getting a big ass loan and purchasing a new car. Cause, like, the car I have now is the first car that's over 2000. All my cars been 1990 something.
Yeah, but you know what? Same thing with mine.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just, like I said, we just, I mean, it helps that we're not really one of those people that's like a couple that's out there like, I'm trying to live for other people or whatever. And not, you know, actually, I do have advice to give people, because people always ask for like, well, what would you say? That was the one thing I would say, man, live for y'all.
Come on.
That's more important than anything. Nobody can tell you how to live your life. And no, everybody's blueprint is not necessarily the same. And it's not necessarily the same for your happiness. Like, people have their idea of the lines that your life should go in, you know, and this isn't just for relationship shit. This is for life, like life shit. So it doesn't matter if you're single, with somebody, polyamorous, open relationship, whatever the fuck whatever designation you have upon yourself.
Right.
Your goal number one, you have to know yourself and be committed to the things that make you happy for yourself first.
Right.
You know, and I think throughout all this stuff, that's probably number one thing I've learned, because we haven't always had, you know what I'm saying? So we haven't always had the means to be like, I'm gonna buy this, I'm gonna get that, I'm gonna go this place. You know, we haven't always been able to travel, but you still have to set up a home, you know, and that might not be a physical home. I mean, sometimes you might not be home and housing stable. Like, I understand that too. Like, like sometimes home, you find home in each other, you find home in yourself. And that's kind of the thing I would say the most, because, you know, you listen to other people, they'll tell you like, you need to have a car, 2.3 kids, a house with a picket fence. You know, you gotta pay for your kids to go to college. You need to have this many degrees. Whatever the plan is that people have for your life, that's not your plan. That's not what you can, the cost you want to pay, or the things that you want to live with. You know, a lot of people, and it's never too late, a lot of people wake up every day and they realize like, the things that people said would make me happy didn't.
Right.
So, and we've been very fortunate to kind of know early on like certain things that make us happy, and to also be able to communicate and gravitate towards things that's like, I don't think this is making me happy. What can we do to work on that? So, you know, that's the only advice I would give people.
Yeah, and like I said, and it's, and also like you say, every day that you wake up is an opportunity to change something in your life. And if you wake up and you realize you're in a relationship you don't want to be in, a friendship you don't want to be in, whatever it is, you can wake up and you can change it. And the thing is, changing is not easy for people to do, because people come accustomed to a certain lifestyle or accustomed to certain people being around them. But if this person or people are is siphoning life from you and siphoning joy from you, in my opinion, they're not worth it. Because your life is in my opinion, your life should be about your happiness, because you only have one life to live. And if you live your entire life based off of what somebody else wants,
right,
you're not going to ever meet that expectation. So, you know, in my opinion, when it comes
or to, even my thing is, even if you do it, you still might not be happy.
Correct.
There's a whole lot of people that went, well, my parents told me to do this, my parents said I had it, this many kids and this, and you look around, you're not happy. I'm just saying, like, chase what makes you happy, because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that you got, you know. So that's right. That's what I would throw in there, because I think a lot of people look like I see people say like relationship goals, couple goals and stuff like that, which is cool, you know. I really appreciate people that say very nice things like that, but at the same time, like, don't model your blueprint after anybody else, because you just don't know. And like I said, even relationship, couple, any of that shit, some, there's people that are, you know, by yourself, but you happy
dog.
you winning at life, you know what I mean? Like, the goal isn't to just be coupled up and miserable, you know. Like I said, we're very fortunate people, and you know, and we appreciate everything that we built. And I still remember the futon and the fucking the TV that if too much light came on, if it got too much white on the screen, it would make a static sound. Mm-hmm.
And it was loud as fuck.
Yeah, we had a whole lot of firsts together. Like, oh, let's get our first TV. Mm-hmm. Let's get our first debt. You know right. what I'm saying?
Let's buy our first bed.
Right.
Like literally, I mean, because we would like... I think the bed you had broke, so for a while we was actually like laying on like the double mattresses on the floor till we can get the money to get the bed, like
right.
So we haven't always had. Now, you know, when we was talking about cars, and it's something about if you have a car, particularly if your car is paid off and is an older car, and if you're happy with that car, be happy, because I remember a lot of people used to be like, why don't you get a new car? And a lot of times they would get the shock of their life, and I'd be like, are you gonna pay the car payment?
Right.
Everybody be like, no. I'd be like, okay then, my car is fine.
Yeah, that I'm just saying, man, live for yourself. Like, don't live for other people. And then like I said, the other thing is, this is our path. You know, I'm very right. happy and proud to, you know, like most people would look at our lives on paper and be like, that's not how you do that.
They show up.
Y'all, oh, so you just gonna get married to this person? Like, you're not gonna travel. You're not gonna find mm-hmm. other people. You're not gonna.
Y'all not gonna have no kids.
How you know it's even love? Right. Y'all young. Y'all, you know, where y'all children at? Like, all this shit. You know, you supposed to wait till you 35 to find somebody. All this type of shit. But you know what? That's their blueprint. It's not mine. And, you know, that's why we here today. So, happy 15.
Yeah, happy 15 to you too. And before we go, something that is just hilarious, I enjoy talking to your daddy, because your daddy talks about us, and when he talks about us, he tells me it's hilarious. He said, I know y'all grown and stuff, he said, but y'all are still like two big ass children, because he was like, y'all watch cartoons, y'all play video games. Like, I'm like, yeah, because you know what, that makes us happy. You know, I don't ever think you can get to the age where you can quote unquote outgrow something if it truly makes you happy.
I agree. All right, we need to get into the people that put in on this, man. All the people that donated to the show and whatnot. Oh yeah, that's right, I gotta load up these emails. You know, we're gonna play the song, and why is it taking so long for this shit to load? Yeah, we're gonna play the song and give everybody their shout outs too. Also, mm-hmm. I signed up for this thing today where we can see our reviews from all, more than just one country.
Wonderful.
So I'll check out more of that and see if I need to actually like pay into that, because it might be a thing we should do.
Right, so we can see them all, because I know sometimes people leave and we might not get to them until a year or two later, because we don't know they're out there.
Right. So yeah, I don't know why this thing isn't loading my emails. I'm gonna have to do this on my laptop, on my computer. It's gonna be a long ass
process.
We're gonna get through it though, guys. We're gonna do this together.
We're gonna make it.
Yeah, I don't know what is going on with my iPhone. All right, so we'll just do it the old-fashioned way. Oh, my announcement. I did want to have like a little bit of announcement for everybody, because I did say I had like something cool coming up to celebrate today. So on Teespring, we opened up a store that has the new logo stuff. Mm-hmm. So, now I only has two of the three, because I'm still waiting on one person to get back to me about the Coming to America logo.
Mm-hmm.
And once that gets worked out, I'll put that on there as well.
Correct.
But, yeah, you can buy new gear, you know, for the Black Autists with the new logos on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got like hoodies and shirts for women and, mugs and stuff like that. Now the one hoodie that has the two mics on it, you can wait a little bit to buy, because when I put it in, I accidentally put the wrong price. It's supposed to be like, they put a default prices of like $40, and I mean, that's cool. I mean, I'm not against making money and everything, but I'm like, that's not why we really sell these.
Right,
like,
right.
You know what I mean?
We want to be reasonable, because we want people to actually be able to afford them.
Right. So, you know, I when it comes back, I'll try to make sure the hoodie is down. It should be $29.99 instead of the $39 mm-hmm. that they got there. But mm-hmm. anyway, other than that, everything is priced correctly, and got the different logos. It got coffee mugs, everything. So like and they have different colors, so click around, find y'all something that you like, and enjoy it, because like I said, it's you know, hopefully you guys will enjoy spreading the love, and next Blackout Tips Day, everybody could be wearing their brand new gear that they got from this year.
And I really do like the page. Like, it's all personalized, got me, you, and Justin on it. Is right. Really neat looking, y'all.
It's real fun, man. I think y'all really gonna enjoy it.
Yeah, all the new logos people been asking for, you can actually get them there.
All right, now I'm gonna try to play this song, because like I said, phone acting stupid.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment.
My three sons. Today is a new day. Renita N hit us with that recurring donation, but you guys know if I say donation, then it's recurring. Y'all already know that. Bambi hit us up. We appreciate you.
Yes.
Sorry what happened to your mama in the woods, okay? That was wrong. That hunter was crazy.
That was wrong. Sue him, baby.
Doyle B hit us with the one-time donation. Thank you very much, Doyle. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you. Don't forget, if you do a one-time donation, you can also leave a message. Totally up to you. You don't have to.
You can't. It gives you option to leave a message. Yes, it does.
Marvin B. Yes, Marvin B. Thank you so much for coming through with this money. KM, recurring donator. Thank you very much, K. I think K might be new. Mm-hmm. J4 hit us up with that recurring. You know, I come through every month.
Sweetie.
You know, when... Now, when it's flooding outside, y'all not gonna be able to get up in this church now. I'm just letting y'all know, so it's no hard feelings, okay? Like, y'all, if we don't get a call first, then no, you're definitely not coming in, and if you do call first, it better be my delivery, because I'm just looking for my pizza, and I'm closing the door on you. Some of them didn't know about.
Oh, Lord.
Nicole F hit us with that donation. We appreciate you, Nicole. Early days of photography. You can take pictures of us, you know, and then when the flood comes, you just go on back out. See yourself out. Terrence S. leaves us a one-time donation, says a message. Love what you guys do. Extremely inspirational. Well, thank you.
Nigga, we inspirational.
I told you we inspirational. I'm telling you, we are so inspirational. Now, listen, if you're in the time of crisis, you need some help, don't come here. But if it was gonna inspire you to run these coins, feel inspired to bring this dough, okay? Because we're gonna be here, all right? Andy S, also with the recurring. I didn't even do the intro to the show, you know. The Blackout Tips, 5-star reviews, iTunes, Stitcher. We about to read them. Long as they nice.
Bullet Ball Extreme.
Mm-hmm, Bullet Ball and Bullet Ball Extreme. You can donate on the show. TheBlackOutTips.com. Look on the right hand side.
Leave 5-star reviews.
Yeah, I said that already. Okay, but okay. You on top of it. You just checking me. Jonathan H hit us with that recurring, and that's a brand new recurring.
Hey, baby.
So go on to the new members class. Conrad, take care of him. We also got a donation from Mr. Span of the Span Report podcast. You guys should be listening to that. You know, should be familiar. If not, get familiar. Corey B. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Corey. We appreciate that money. That's
hey,
right.
Baby.
One-time donation from our girl, Joanna.
Hey,
we've been in the studio live with her, with Shadow Dog. Mm-hmm. Says, I love the way you challenge my thinking, and I appreciate your help in being a better ally. But that is nice.
Thank you, baby.
That's not even why we do the show. And that's a good bonus, though. We'll take it. Omar A., thank you very much for your return. We appreciate you putting in on this. Mary H coming through. Appreciate you, Mary.
We do.
Janine R. Thank you very much, Janine. Mm-hmm. Ooh, so many people. Joseph O. Coming through. Thank you, Joe.
That's a new one.
Prop Joe. Nah, that's not new.
Okay.
Rachel H. Thank you very much.
Hey, Rachel.
Let's see who else we got here. Wait, another Joseph O? What's going on? Is this repeating? Stefan H. I don't know. Maybe Joe gave twice. I don't know. Appreciate you, Joe.
Thank you, baby.
Coming through the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Jasmine A. Thank you, Jasmine.
Jasmine.
We getting close to the end, guys. Waste Bees by Suru. Thank you so much.
Hey, y'all.
Who else we got here? We got Michael Irvin, the playmaker. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Michael Irvin.
Thank you.
Eric M. Attitude check.
Bronco Pride.
Bronco damn Pride. That's correct. Alexander M. Thank you very much. Tyrone M. No relation. Mm-mm. Thank you, Tyrone. Call him. Jason F.
Ah!
Thank you so much, Jason. Hey, we made it to the end of the song. Joseph O again. What is going on with your account, Joseph? You might want to check that out. I don't know what's going on. Courtney R, I think you is a brand new recurring donation. I don't even know what the next song after this would be. Let me
go visiting choir now.
You know what? Here to go visit the choir. Come on through. Terry W, thank you very much. Anytime we need a payment, he comes through. We got a one time from Falcons Diva who says dropping a little extra on the collection plate for TBGWT Day. Much love, Falcons Diva. Thank you, Falcons Diva. We appreciate it. Gerard L, thank you. We got who else? Calvin N, recurring, thank you. Mm-hmm. And lastly, we got a one time donation from Iman who says happy anniversary. Your black love and laughter means so much and is what this world needs more of. Hope your anniversary is everything you could hope it could be and more. Love y'all from Iman, Nerd Geek Ninja on Twitter.
Thank you.
And it ended perfectly with the song. I had to go into overtime.
I know, this computer. Right?
Thank y'all.
We thank you, Kwai. We hope y'all have a good time on your way back home. Be sure your cars break down on you, nothing like that.
Yeah, because we won't be coming out to help.
Mm-mm.
So, and if you need a place to stay overnight, it won't be here. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you ain't got to get all your stuff, but I mean, you know.
You can come back and beat up tomorrow.
Right. Well, you know, don't. I mean, fine. Good luck. You'll be in our thoughts.
And prayers.
We'll definitely be thinking about you. You know, just don't step your stank ass up on my couch. Okay. All right. All right. Let's go to the iTunes reviews. Like I said, I got a program that it tells me like the last 30 reviews or something. I'll see about maybe going to the paid and seeing like all the reviews. But, I was surprised. We got reviews from a lot of places.
Oh, shit. Oh, so it bought them all up.
Yeah. Coffee Light and Sweet says, yay, this is my second review and will gladly do more. Ryder Karen consistently provide thought provoking and brilliant commentary with a dose of comedy that will have you scream laughing with glee. Get some TBGWT in your life. You need it. That is all. 5 stars.
Thank you.
And the podcast and the review title was Straight No Chaser, an excellent podcast, period, in all caps. Let's see what else we got. So then in Canada, August 22nd, we got this one.
Oh shit.
I love it. Karen's laugh gives me life. I'm meaning to review this for a while, so here I am. You guys are so right about Tina Fey. She's blind her own racism. The cake joke was so wrong. Stay home and let Nazi do that thing is all the joke meant. It meant not funny and nonsensical. As a cis white Canadian woman, this podcast is cool. I need it. All white people do. I appreciate it. Oh, and I would throw this in there too, dog. Trevor Noah had a joke about like the anti-fascist people hitting people and they don't need to do it. Same thing for me with Tina Fey. Like, yeah, nigga, that was not, well, actually, no, Vegan ISIS was funny. So it really is the same thing with Tina Fey. Like, I did think some of her shit was funny, just not all of it. It wasn't as bad as Tina Fey shit where, you know, with the weird racial whatever to it, that it wasn't like that, but this whole like please don't punch the Nazis thing, I'm like, what the fuck, dog? Are y'all like, am I walking out of Inglourious Basterds wrong? Like, am I the one that's walking out like, yeah, they fucked them Nazis up, good job? Or are y'all walking out being like, wow, Quentin Tarantino, why would you do that to those poor Nazis? I don't understand the rules is what I'm trying to say. But you know, I mean, I still watch The Daily Show and all that shit, but y'all been on that. And I'm still a fan of, Trevor Noah and Roy Wood Jr. and all those people over there. But yeah, man, sometimes the shit don't be good. Like, sometimes the jokes ain't good to me, or I don't agree with them or whatever. And I think they did that thing where, this happens a lot with people that think they're being impartial, where they like, well, I've been joking on Republicans, so now I have to joke on the people on the left. But to me, there's no equating the anti-fascist people with the white supremacy people. No. So I don't know. And I feel like only a person that's not from here could think that.
Right.
And right. That's why, like I said, that's why he got the job. Cause for moments mm-hmm. like that, as well as, and I said this when he did the Philando Castile shit, watching him as a person of color in America, learn about American racism and how it's different from where he's from.
It's different.
is like, I'm not knocking where he's from. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it's easy or some shit. Nope. That's not what I'm saying.
Racism is just a different type. And it's just different, in a different here. Manner, right?
It's just different here. Mm-hmm. And watching him kind of learn how ridiculous this shit is and go through it live on TV reporting it, it's fascinating to me. And I'm gonna continue to watch that shit. But yeah, I don't expect him to become like the super wokest nigga overnight. But yeah, I thought that joke was kind of whack. Let's see who else. We got one from New Zealand.
Oh shit.
Funny and informative. Only been listening for about 2 weeks after I heard them mention on my fave Game of Thrones podcast Fandom. The two hosts are awesome and funny, and they have equally hilarious guests. Came for the Game of Thrones recaps, which are fantastic, but they also cover a wide range of real world topics, some of which can be hard to talk about / listen to, but they're important conversations. I appreciate their efforts in covering these topics. Highly recommend this podcast and plan on going premium for that backlog. You did great work. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we got any other ones from
New Zealand, dog.
Right? That person hit me on Twitter and let me know. Let's see. I can't remember if we did this one. This one, Canada, August 13th. I don't remember if we did it.
I don't remember either.
5 stars every time. If I could go, I'd give you 10 stars. 5 stars for the Game of Thrones recaps. 5 stars for every other episode. Game of Thrones recaps are the best I've heard. They don't have all the book references, but they more than make up for it with humor, insight, and layer of blackness that only House Jackson could deliver. Yeah, I honestly, to be honest, y'all, I think the secret of our recaps being so flames is that we don't read the books.
You know, I think so too. All jokes aside, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. too many, like, people that read the book start getting mad when they deviate from the book,
yeah.
or being disappointed that a storyline was left out, or, you know, like, you can kind of, even when they don't mean to be, like, I'm not saying they're wrong, it's just, you can never unknow what you know, right? So, they can't ever look at it as just a TV show, and I think when it does shit like, you know, hey, let's fast forward through all the, like,
the walking and right. bullshit and riding horses and all that shit.
Right. Like, that shit is cool to me because I'm just watching a TV show. I think to fans, they're like, but what about all the things you're skipping? Or what about the pacing before this? You know? So, anyway. As for the balance on the show, I've only got good things to say. It always brings humor, great insight, and honesty. Thanks so much. I look forward to the continued brilliance. See if there's
thank
any
you, baby.
Other ones from outside the USA.
Yeah, New Zealand. It's over there near Wanga.
Mm-hmm. Somebody just put love from the north from Canada. Love from the north Canada. That's
aww,
it.
Oh, thank you, baby.
So yep. So yeah, if I'll try to like look into that plan later on and see if maybe we can upgrade and go back and find some of them other reviews that we probably missed for years because we don't know unless
yeah,
y'all tell us.
Yeah, down one of them countries we can't recognize the flag.
And we got 1 5-star review on Stitcher as well. And it's from DK08 who says, I don't usually do this. She said when giving a 5-star review. wherever you are, be prepared to laugh out loud, think, agree, or maybe even disagree. Either way, the critiques and current events are thoughtful and the dialogue is elevated far beyond the pedantic and didactic. Ooh, used in words.
Fabulous.
On a scale of 9 to 10, I give it a 10. And remember, I love you too. Mwah.
All right, back thank at you. Mwah.
All right. And so we have, you know, obviously we have episodes that y'all left comments on the blackouttest.com.
Mm-hmm.
And some you didn't leave comments on, which is fine too. We just go over them faster. We had obviously the feedback show 15-13 sidestepping the hotepping. No comments and no comments in the poll. The poll was, should we have had a poll for this episode? And the answers was yes, 18%, no, 5%, and 77% said, wait a minute. This is a poll. Gotta be pretty sharp to follow this show, guys.
Think about it.
15-14, we had Aria of the 3-Piece. We had my man Corey Glover of the band Living Color with the new album Shade coming out on the 8th.
So glad. So many people really enjoyed that show. Particularly across social media, a lot of people let us know that they enjoyed. We have fans telling us that they had seen them live already and they were fans of theirs and they were excited because he was excited.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, you know, now that it's over with, you know, when the PR person reached out for me, like, oh, the guys are big fans, da da da, I'm like, I hope because we've had PR people reach out to us before. We've had people that just want to be guests on the show and they say that shit and they not really fans.
Right.
We had people hit us up, use our own name. Like, I'm not even joking, y'all. We had somebody say Rod and Sharon in a damn, a direct message on our Facebook page to try to get it, to be a guest. Like, you might know me from this video that went viral. My name is so-and-so. Rod and Sharon, can you have me? I'm like, nigga, you don't even know us, you know? And we are a little bit particular about who we do have as guests. Mm-hmm. You know, we prefer to have people that at least are familiar with the show. Not that everybody gotta be a super fan or nothing, mm-mm, but, you know, we prefer to have people that we like, that we mm-hmm know what they into. And honestly, we run out of time most of the time to have everybody we like on. Hard to get just everybody
on. A long ass list. Some people been on the list for years. We just haven't worked our way around to them.
Right. You know, like, I understand radio shows do things differently, right? Like, they have a 10-20 minute interview with a person. The person, you know, unless it's like the Breakfast Club or something like that, like a long form interview, most people, they sit down with you for 10 minutes, 12 minutes if they call you on the phone, and they're just selling something. Hey, buy my book. Hey, check out this. They don't really want to be guests. They don't really want to be interviewed. They give you like a little, the questions you can ask. Like, this is a completely different experience. Like, from that, you know, it's just very much like, hey, they love to come on if you da 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 da. And they had some, and the dude had some like things in the email that made it sound like, oh, they might really be fans. Like, mm-hmm, so, it was just like a mind blowing thing for us, you know, cause y'all know I'm kind of a pessimist, a cynical. Like, my thing was like, I kept thinking like, oh, we gonna, you know, we gonna call him and he ain't gonna, or on Skype, and he gonna be like, oh, you know, oh, I guess I just woke up. I gotta do this for 10 minutes and I gotta go or whatever. And was, you know, in my mind, I'm just thinking of everything that could go wrong.
I'm the opposite. That's what's hilarious about us. He'd be like, everything go wrong. And I'm like, everything better go right.
So I was just like, I understandably so, like, you big time. Why the fuck would you even care about this show in your mind? You know, like,
right.
I could completely see a person being like, man, I'm gonna do this, talk to these niggas for 2 hours. And yo, like, from the second like I turned my Skype on, he already had sent a message like, yo, mm-hmm, what's up, I'm so excited about
it
this
was so much.
And then when so he called fun, like the first thing when he called, oh man, y'all understand, it's such a big deal. I'm like, how, you know,
right,
what I mean?
Right, how,
so
you know. And you know, and I understand, you know, he's talking to us, but it's one of those things where I'm like, you literally have like, you play music, you sing, like, you do all this fantastical stuff, and I'm like,
I mean, you've been all over the globe.
That was my thing. Like, you really been doing some shit. We just two niggas in the microphone.
But you know what? That whole thing was just beautiful, man. And I'm so glad it came together on our show, and I'm so glad that the fans enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed it, because like, so many people was writing in all week, like, oh my god, I can't believe this. And I'm like, nigga, I can't either. Like, it's so it was so dope, man. So we appreciate y'all for enjoying the moment as much as we did. All right, to y'all's comments though. Paula says, Corey Glover apologizing for not giving TBGWT a 5-star review yet. Yep, you have made it. This was one of my favorite episodes yet. Corey was great with you guys. Like, he's been podcasting his whole life.
I know, right?
Superb chemistry and super funny. Can't wait till you have him back again. He fit right in. Well done, Corey. It was so interesting to hear what he had to say about music. I'm going to look for more black rock bands in other countries like he suggested. Yeah, that was the other thing, man. We just, shit, it felt like for an hour we was just talking. It was like, oh yeah, we should probably do the show. Yeah,
kicking it with the old friend. Like, I can't explain. He was just so relaxing.
Yeah.
To talk to. He didn't make things feel weird. He didn't make things feel awkward. It was really laid back. And honestly, I'm gonna tell you right now, y'all, he's such a wealth full of knowledge.
Right.
The show actually could have been a lot longer, mm-hmm, you know, but it was just wonderful to pick his mind and pick his brain and get information. Like, what I started doing is like, started typing emotions in searches to see what type of music comes up, something that I would have never thought of,
right?
You know, so, and it's just wonderful. Like, and me and Roger talked about it, you know, eventually we would like to get the rest of the guys on and things like that. And it was just so much joy to have him here with us.
I remember when Living Color first came out, how stoked I was about them. Their performance on SNL was epic. Corey whipping all that hair around. Whoa, super hot. I have a soft spot in my heart for Living Colors. I used to use Cult of Personality as my intro song back in my stripping days. Oh, Paula, you was out here setting that thing up. You was out here putting the, okay. I see you. I see you, Paula. I ain't know you got down like that. You know what I'm saying?
You don't never know who listening. Hey.
You know? The opening riffs to that tune are unmistakable. Say, here I am, sit the fuck down and watch how it's done. I'll be downloading Shade as soon as it's available. Also, I'll be waiting for Aria the three-piece too. That was the title of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
This was such a treat, guys. You just get better and better. Thank you. Yeah, it was just cool because, I mean, no offense to any other guest or anybody else, but he was so black too, man. It was just like, I don't know, sometimes like on a bigger level, I feel like so much of shit in our head is to separate us. So it's like all the preconceived notions we have of people, and then you have these moments where you're like, why the fuck did I ever think that? And that's what to me resonated so much, because it's like, I, you know, I understand that we are a acquired taste and all that shit. Correct. So sometimes I'm like, you know, I would understand if people listen to this and be like, I don't want to hear this shit.
Yeah,
but
they too black, quote unquote.
Right. But like, it was just so refreshing. It's like blackness, like a its own language and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm bilingual. I speak American English and nigga. You know what I mean? She wrote in. Oh, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. I just realized I never asked how you pronounce your name, but I think it's Aniki or Anike. Anike Robinson writes in, best show with Corey. She's the person that did the art for Shade. He introduced me to your show last summer. Like, he out here putting people on.
That's what I'm talking about, dog.
I've been a serious
fan.
That's
still unreal. I'm sorry.
I've been a serious fan ever since. Hearing Corey on the show with you two was like a full circle. And I was geeked that Corey mentioned my name. I laughed, shaking my head, and hollered with you two. Thank you all for the all your hard work and dedication. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
And I'm still looking for my 5-star review. She actually hit me on Facebook. It was like, so about that 5-star review, how did I do it? I was like, what?
I know, right?
Here's a YouTube video. Good luck.
It's not hard, baby.
D Ramsey, PH Dunn says, when I saw this, I was mad because I had to wait until the day to listen. Liver Cubs were my faves back in the day. Corey Glover is amazing. 5 stars and 2 biscuits. 2 biscuits?
That's what I'm talking about.
Slide us in with the hookup.
They got jelly or honey on it. Let me know.
Rob says, this was a really dope episode. I was aware of Living Color, but I'm going to give the new joint a listen and cop that joint that had Thought and Chuck D. Oh, yeah. Who Shot You? It's dope. Corey was a legit fan, and by the way, that Who Shot You, at least on the on Spotify or Tidal, it's not just one song, it's like four songs, and then it's like 4 or 5 versions of Who Shot You. So yeah, go get your life. I mean, it'll hold you over for 6 more days, you know.
We almost there, y'all.
It's like a, you know, it's like a appetizer, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I've been rocking that shit all week. Just add it to my gym rotation, you know. But yeah, he says, Corey was a legit fan, and the fun that he was having on the show made it even more enjoyable for me as I listened on the JOB. Same here, man. That's so crazy. Anyway.
It was so much fun. I don't know if he realized how much fun we had with him. It was a ball.
That's so crazy. When I was coming up in the 80s, my cousin was in a funk band, and they definitely were living like rockers. Our folks have always been in the scene, and it seemed like back then there was a chance of hearing that variety on the radio. Yeah, that's a good point. It was also like at some point a conscious decision that, you know, even your quote unquote urban radio station decides like, we not playing that because it's rock, we not playing that because it's country,
even though it's black,
but
right.
It's still black, so why wouldn't you want me to be to experience that?
But
you know?
I know one thing, they was rocking that Beyonce when it came out. I guess yeah, it's with Beyonce, but it technically quote unquote is country music.
I'm not saying there's no crossover, but right, it's just interesting. I don't listen to the radio anymore, so maybe they do play more variety, but I don't know. But the way urban radio went end quotes. It seems they really narrowed down that what they portrayed as black music to a small range within rap and R&B. I have to remember to push those boundaries back out on music. That's the beauty of having music in our hands, having these apps and shit. We don't have to just let the radio tell us what's hot or what we can play or what we're supposed to listen to anymore. I still remember when I got sick of the radio. Like, I started listening to talk radio probably in like 1996 or 97, like, and I know a lot of people like, that's the heyday of music. Yeah, I go buy a CD, you know what I mean? Like, I buy a tape and listen to that shit, but I wasn't about to listen to the radio play the same shit over and over and over.
I think that's what used to kill me. Like you said, within an hour, the same song was played like 8 or 9 times within the 60-minute period.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a lot. I don't think it's 8 or 9, but it was just...
A lot. No, put it like this.
It was a lot, because 8 or 9 in a 60-minute period, the same song is too much, but...
I mean, but I guess... Yeah, you're right. I think because... Anytime I turned on the radio, the song was there. So to me, I'm like, are we playing the same song? Like,
right.
Mentally, the time lapse might have been different. Like, during the course of a 24-hour period, you've played it at least once or twice per hour.
Yeah. That's the thing. It just felt like it was just a routine to be like, you know, I still remember even when I was younger, while I was a little more variety, you know, it was like hip hop had to work its way in, because hip hop was like the rock and roll of quote unquote the black stations, where they wanted to play a bunch of like 80s and Luther Vandross and Freddie Jackson. Nothing wrong with that music, but then you had to wait till late night just to hear some hip hop. And I fucking loved rap. You know, I knew the first time I heard, I was like, oh, I love this. What is this? And I'm like, if I gotta wait till fucking 1 in the morning to record Eddie Owens,
come on,
him, then that's just what I gotta do.
Yeah, him giving his shout out to the people in jail.
Yeah, them letters from the people in prison and shit. But I would do that, you know. And yeah, at some point as I got older, even when they went to like digital, like radio, where you could kind of like listen to the radio on the computer and stuff, it was the same thing, where it's like they weren't talking about anything, they were just playing music, and they were just there to play about, it felt like 20 songs a day. And I don't mean they only played 20 songs per the whole day, but just the same 20 songs all day long. And it definitely killed something in my like in my whole like, oh, I need to keep up with the new music shit. And instead it turned into like I said, once you got streaming apps and all that stuff, it really turned into something else. Like, oh, cool, I can pick and not go out and explore. I still find a lot of people don't explore. Like,
right.
When I talk to people, they be like, I just listen to the stuff I grew up with. I just listen to stuff in the 90s. And wasn't this era the best? And I'm like, man, I listen to everything. Like, if I can make the time to listen to something new and to sample it, I will. Like, I'll just throw on the what's the top 20 for this week on Tidal, and just maybe I find a new jam, maybe I won't. But I can always go back to my archives of what I already like. You know what I mean? I want to see what my artists that I grew up with, what are they doing new? What are they doing now? Like, is it worth checking out? Because them niggas didn't die. Like, a lot of them niggas still putting out music.
Yes, they are.
Are y'all, you know, y'all checking on them or nah, you know?
Right, and that boils back down to a lot of people just lazy when it comes to that. Like, they aren't willing to search, which is cool, but just tell the truth. I got kids, I got old, I got shit to do, I don't have... When you're a child, most people like this, and we talked about this before, most people talk about the heyday. For most people, the heyday is when you had unlimited time. You don't have unlimited time no more. You got bills and responsibilities, so you don't have that time to actually dig and find shit. But if you really wanted to, you would.
Yeah.
Or if you had the desire to, you would.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been exploring like that.
Right.
You know, it just used to be different ways. I used to go in the record store, put on the headphones and be like, what do they have on display? With it, remember on displays you could pick like 4 or 5 CDs and switch it. I used to go in there. That's how I still discover album that I love to this day, How I Do by Reese.
Yes.
I didn't see no promotion for that album. Nobody told me about that album. I'm still super proud of myself walking in and being like, who is this black woman on this cover looking like she should be in an indie movie? And I hit play on that and was like, instantly fell in love with that album, man. I still remember like being in the store like, I have to buy this and play it forever for the rest of my life. That's like, that's a different type of discovery. But now we can do that at our phones. Like, something's been lost in the process, but something's also been gained in the process.
Right. It's almost like a catch 22, and this is why particularly older generation, you hear a lot of them down new music, ain't nothing good. And when you ask, you go, oh, you just ain't been. Now some of them have been listening, but the people that truly say ain't nothing out there, then they can't give you no current artist, you like, no,
right?
You just fucking gave up, and so you right. assume that everything, like people do comic books, I'm not reading the comic book, so it's trash, and that's not realistic.
Yeah, I don't have any animosity towards people. Mm-mm. But it's just, you know, I think if you take, I mean, because it, honestly, it takes about every week, like I said, I go to Tidal top 20 or whatever, I try to find it a time for it every week, take about 15 minutes to really go through it, like, because if it, you know, y'all know when y'all not fucking with something. Mm-hmm. Like when it's just like, okay, I would never even fuck with this genre of music or this type of music or this artist or whatever, so you skipping probably 10 tracks off gate, like, okay, I don't listen to techno trance music. Cool, if that's not your thing, if that song don't grab you, I understand. But you might hear something where you like, yo, I like these two songs, and now I'm gonna add it to my rotation of songs that, you know, I play sometimes, and that's how I get into it. Also, I chase down music when I hear it in places like if I'm watching a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yo, I really fuck with that song, what was that? I'll chase that down, and then I go see if I'm into that group. Another album that I thought was fucking phenomenal probably 2 years ago, maybe no longer than that, must be three or four years ago, last season of True Blood.
Yes.
They had this song. And it was by Lady. It's called Lady. It's Lady the Band. If you're looking for them.
That song and album is flat. And that song kind of came out of the blue too. It ended and it just started, and this woman just started wailing, and you was like, who is this woman? Oh my god, I've never heard this music before.
Yeah, so it's Lady the Band, and I want to say the album name is, yeah, that's it, Lady comma the Band.
What was the name of
hold
the
on band? I'm about to get to it. The name of the album is called Lady, and the right. song that was in the show was a song called Karma. Chase shit down like that sometimes, because I'm just like, what was that sound, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm a big fan of that. Like, I don't know if you guys do that, but now that we have this shit at our fingertips, mm-hmm. why not go chase it down, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, don't they have shit on your phone now where shit is playing, you can hold it up and it'll listen and pick and tell you what it is?
It's called Shazam. It's an app.
Okay.
But yeah, you can do it with Shazam. Like, it's, you know, I don't know if you guys are big fans of Rick and Morty,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, as evidenced by things I've said on the show, I'm a pretty huge fucking fan. But there was a song that was stuck in my head forever, and I went and found it. It's called For the Damage Coda by Blonde Redhead. And I'm not even that big of a, like the album was just okay to me, but this song right here, when this beat drop, it's so fucking ill. It's only 2 minutes 30 seconds. Hold on.
Yes, and they play this a lot too.
So yeah, man, I like, so that's one of the ways I listen. So, you know, I saw someone in the chat being like, I just listen to old shit, and I'm like, yo, I feel you, but you can go find, like, it's easy, like, it's just, to me anyway, I think I'll always be searching for new shit. Like, you just never know what's gonna catch your attention.
Yeah, cause, and I'm not even gonna lie, I think sometimes when I use the elliptical, I'll do like you, I'll be like, well, what's the new music out there? And I heard everybody talking about that,
XXXTentacion or whatever his name is. That dude?
No, okay. The song with Justin Bieber, and it was in Spanish with him and them dudes. What's the name of that song? Espirito? I don't remember the name of it, but the whole song's in Spanish. That shit is flames.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, you gotta track this shit down, man.
I don't remember the name of it, but it's like a, yeah, there you go. They put it in the chat room.
Despacito?
Yes.
Okay.
And I happened to be going through, and it was like in the top, and I heard people talking about it, but I'm not a Justin Bieber fan, so I didn't pay no attention. But I put it on, I was like, oh, he not by himself, and they singing in Spanish. The beat right. Go hard.
Go ahead.
The beat go hard, and I didn't understand the word they were saying, but I was exercising my ass off.
Also, if you're like with Insecure, like Tidal and Spotify, they soundtracked it. So like you right there, you got the, you can just go find the playlist on Tidal or Spotify, and like I said, keep up with what the kids listen to or whatever. But you know, it's like boom, now you know who SZA is. Now you know. Like you might find a Frank Ocean song that you had never heard before. I know they even got people that like some this year, they had a song where the artist made the song for Insecure. So like, you know, anyway, man, just all right, that's a whole nother tangent.
Yeah, that's a whole nother tangent. And y'all know I'm bad. I'll be partying or something, and you'd be like, that's such, and I'll be like, who? Because a lot of times I just know I like music.
Yeah, I like,
I'm bad like that, don't ask me why.
Well, I try to keep up with it because, you know, I want to hear shit again. And if I find, like I said, I am genuinely curious. Like, if I find an artist and I'm like, wait, I like this. Okay, let me go check their album. Okay, I like this. Okay, now this album's in my rotation. Okay, what other albums they got? It's just cool that we can do that now. All right, back to the point, the feedback. let's see. Okay, yeah, he says Corey was a legit fan and da da da. Okay, when I was coming up in the 80s, my cousin was in a funk band, and they definitely were living like rockers. Our folks have always been in the scene. It seemed like back then there was a chance of hearing that variety on the radio, but the way urban radio went, it seems they really narrowed down and they portrayed as black music to a small range within rap and R&B. I have to remember to push those boundaries back out on music. Regarding that fight in Florida, that lady laid them hands. Funny how that other lady tried to jump up to victim mode. Typical. Keep up the good work, y'all. Ariana, River City Girl, says, thank y'all so much for putting me on The Living Color. Now, see, this is what's weird. People being like, y'all put me on. I'm like, how now? See?
Right.
but, nah, you know what? I didn't know. Till I started listening, so you know, each one teach one.
Right.
I grew up listening to Red Hot Chili Peppers and Linkin Park. I had no idea I was completely missing out on a black rock band. Also, I was low key waiting for y'all to play the I'm from Brooklyn sound clip, but I see you resisted the urge. Well, you know what? Corey didn't really say nothing that made me have to play the oh wait. I could have played it when he was talking about if they gotta throw them hands and get out the bar. I should have been like, I'm from Brooklyn, so it was really good.
Yes.
Dune Dragon says, I had so many comments to make while listening to the podcast, but forgot most of them from laughing so hard. Conrad, mean Corey, needs to be invited for a Them Thrones review in season 8. His comment on the Game of Thrones deal though had me trying to one up it all day. Does it raise the dead? Another great episode. Dune Dragon said, autocorrect switches from, Rod to Rob, and Corey switches to Conrad. My bad, guys. Who you hanging out with? Ain't a lot of Conrads in the world. They don't make them no more. Mm-mm. EVE says, I loved Living Color, and seeing a black hard rock band meant so much to me growing up because I was labeled an Oreo for enjoying rock music, even though black people were pioneers of it. Yep, I could definitely understand that. Somehow, I mean, they gentrified the fuck out of it in a way, you know, yes, what I mean, to make us think like this some white shit. Listening to them actually made me seek out other black hard rock bands, which I still love to this day. Cult of Personality was and is still is my jam. Really enjoyed this episode. KC67 Impala says, this is one of my favorite episodes. I could talk about different styles of music all day long. I grew up listening to classical, jazz, blues, rock, R&B, and hip-hop. I love when all those styles come together. I can't wait for Corey to be back on the show. When he was talking about all the rock shows he went to, I flashed back to my live punk show days. I'll definitely check out Living Color. They sound right up my alley. Thanks for a great show. Thank you. And the poll was, did you know Living Color was making this black-ass rock music? Yes, nigga, y'all real late. Nah, thanks for putting me on. Or I knew, but now I know. Sometimes you gotta hear a nigga be like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You know? One of us.
Right. One of us. You just wanna be sure. You one of us? You sure? You ain't crossed over to the side.
It's like, I know Barack Obama's a black president. You know, but like if I seen like his conversations with Michelle about how shit is going on in the White House, I would know. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah,
right now,
you have real nigga conversations. Yeah,
like I feel like they both sit down. Like, did you see this nigga? You know. Yes, nigga, y'all real late. 46% of y'all was already up on game, and we late. And I know I'm late.
Me too, baby.
You know, 29% says nah, didn't know. But thanks for putting me on. So go check them out. And 25% of y'all said y'all knew, but now y'all know. You know, I feel like I'm in the first category. I knew who they were, and I heard some of their songs just like what BET was trying to be different. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, we're going to play a little rock for y'all this time, you know? But I had no idea, my nigga. Now I know.
Everything was new to me. I'm not going to lie.
Brooklyn Shoe Bay says, my mom put me on the Living Color in the late 80s when I was in high school. I always liked rock music, but got that's not real blackness backlash. Then rap and rock metal combined, like Jay-Z touring with Linkin Park, A Public Enemy, and Anthrax. Y'all should have asked him about that. If you think about it, rock dudes are classically trained singers. They scream, rhyming, talking into a mic similar to rappers. Don't even get me started on how some of the toughest kick a nigga in the face rap songs sample metal. Yes, all this music was ours in the first place. Yep. That's true. It's weird too because people start experimenting with that hybrid rock rap shit, and still even Lost in the Shuffle is in a lot of that conversation is like, but there's black people making straight rock, so like, you know, like why? Not to say that those albums aren't good, but like you can kind of skip over the middleman and go straight to the source. Kyle also from Hawaii says, also from Hawaii.
We gotta separate them out now.
Right. Got two listeners from Hawaii now. I was really into Vivid when I was a kid, one of my first tapes, but Cold of Personality just got overplayed in the 90s and I stopped paying attention to them, even though I always liked heavy rock music. When Corey mentioned Bad Brains, I realized, wow, they do sound like later Bad Brains. I still listen to BB, so I don't know why I forgot about Living Color. Going to rectify that and start digging into all the other albums, so I'm ready for the new one to drop. That's what I'm saying. Let's get in here and get let's get ready.
They had a song on one of the Rock Band games. That's how he found them.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's little stuff like that, right? How many people like start listening to rock because of Rock Band?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I know a lot of black people that got put on that way. I don't have any shame in admitting that, you know, I'm not always up on shit. You know, I feel like part of the hindrance to a lot of learning now is this especially in the age of the internet, this idea like I have to be up on everything and say I already knew everything before it was a thing, right. And you'll never catch me not knowing. And I'm like, man, you can't be afraid of not knowing, because that's on. How you learn.
I would be the first one, but like, nigga, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, like sometimes I don't know, man, and
it's all right.
Yeah, and also it introduces you to a world where you get to learn.
Right.
Speaking of learning, 1515 was titled an eye-opening episode. We talked a lot about Insecure. D Ramsey PH Dunn says, I do not know why the Issa character was tripping about oral sex. Remember when Lawrence had the interview with the tech company he works for? Issa made sure Lawrence would have the best interview ever, hashtag oral relations. Yeah, okay, so I mean, I normally say this kind of stuff for Bossy, and I probably will say most of what I think about that episode for Bossy.
Okay,
but I think one is different when it's your man. Daniel, her, that's not her man.
Mm-mm.
As much as people want it to be that way, that's not her man. Two, I think the point of that whole episode was that Issa's hotation thing, in my opinion anyway, this is just my opinion, okay, this is not definitive, don't write me arguing, I'm not trying to start an argument.
Mm-mm.
My guess is that episode was more about her control issues, and the reason that she started the whole hotation in the first place was so that she could maintain control over her sex life, like aggressively, almost like how Molly was last season, where it's like, nah, I'ma fuck these niggas cause, you know, I'm this is me asserting control. I can't be hurt, I can't hurt anybody. I think Issa's definitely afraid of hurting somebody, like not being hurt. She's afraid of hurting someone because of what she did to Lawrence. That's why she told Daniel to back off. I think that's why she told the dude that came to the crib and was trying to, like, you know, go out to on a date and take things slow. She told him to get the fuck out, because I really feel like she's in a space where she's like, I don't deserve, quote unquote, or want an attachment to somebody, an obligation or responsibility to somebody, because I'm going to... I hurt somebody, and now how do I deal with that? And I feel like all this has been a result of that fallout. Now maybe I'm wrong and maybe there's another issue at play, but that's how I'm taking it, is she never got the closure from breaking up with Lawrence in the first place, and despite how people team up on the internet, the truth of the matter is, as a character, I would imagine that Issa D, the character, it never got that closure from that relationship that she wanted, and them struggle strokes wasn't it, them leaving in the, without really having that actual argument or discussion of what happened wasn't it, and Lawrence didn't really get closure either, like just dipping out like that. So I feel like a lot of this shit is just they didn't get closure, and this is how it's affecting them. But she chose a more aggressive path to it, and that's you know, so the cum on her face was more of a just an ultimate sign of like, I even with all this illusion of control, I don't really have control, you know, like even with all that shit, like it's still, I mean, that's how I took it. It was like, in her mind she was like, you know, when I show up, your dick should be ready, everything should be focused and around me, but those people are still people independent of her being around anyway, and they have their own agency, and they have, she has to deal with the fact that she's not number one priority to them, whether she feels like she should just be able to pop in and out of their lives or not. That's not how their lives work. So when you tell people to deprioritize you and it's just casual, it's just a hookup, da da da, people start treating it that way, and then she got kind of, I think she didn't like that it wasn't convenient that week, because everything was a struggle that week, you know, and that's how it was filmed. I mean, from the mass transit to, mm-hmm, you know,
you have to do that Uber with the four people,
right? Like, I feel like everything about that episode was just like, it's struggle week, and they got two episodes left, and I think, you know, things are starting to come to a climax, no joking, no pun intended, and that's the, you know, they have to have that down episode before you can even have any level of, whether it's feel good or just closure coming at the end of episode 8, like you need to have some level of, she gotta go through it, and this is her going through it. That's my guess.
Right. And put it like this, I've been watching and looking at people commenting about it and things like that, and jokes is jokes and all that stuff, but in my opinion, a lot of men have very strong opinions about this, mm-hmm. but for a lot of straight men, and you even mentioned, nobody's busting the nut in your eye, so you can't tell nobody how they should or shouldn't respond to that, you know, mm-hmm. so I almost dismiss most men's opinion because you don't count. You need to be the recipient of it so you can fully understand how it feels when it comes to that. And it's my thing is, she's allowed to react how she wants to. I think a lot of people think because she quote unquote didn't respond the right way, or she quote unquote didn't swallow, or she quote unquote didn't move ahead, what he told you, it don't matter. She has a right, in my opinion, to respond how she would have responded. And some women do get highly upset when you do this, regardless if you told them or not.
Well, it's not even about, he didn't do it on purpose.
Right, he didn't.
People don't want her to be mad because it's more, I think people don't want her to be mad for their own reasons.
Correct.
Like, a lot of people feel like this show is some type of representation and has to be, like, it has some obligation to be very sex positive before even over comedy's sake, which is stupid to me. Like, you know, and also the joke was so brilliant.
It was.
I mean, fucking 10 minutes earlier in the show is, what the fuck would you use a condom on a blowjob for? And they all laughed it off. And then, well, now there you go at the end, right? Like, it's such a, like I said, to me, I watch it like I watch Curb. Mm-hmm. Too many people watch this shit like it's a documentary. It's like, to me, it's like Curb. Like, right. How would this situation end up awkwardly? You know, that's what she does. But yeah, I also agree with you that you don't get to tell somebody how to feel. I mean, there are like, people, like I said, to me, the symbolism wasn't, I'm mad because how dare you fucking come in my face. It was, nothing went right today, and of course I got fucking come in my fucking face trying to do something different.
The whole day was just terrible.
Right. Like, I've been catching the bus. I got to catch Uber back home. My car mm-hmm. don't work. I'm not going to go on my vacation. Right. I don't, like, everything was fucked all day for her, you know, from, you know, and it seemed like people are more upset that, you know, their shit didn't win or whatever. Like, it's not like, I, you know, the same, I think people just are like, how dare she feel this way? And I'm like, because it's a show about insecurity, not a show about security. Like,
correct.
You know what I mean? Like, he didn't mean to do it. Like, it'll probably be fine. It's, you know, it's not like he didn't turn around and was like, yeah, bitch, came in your face. Like, people just wanted it to, you know, I don't know. Like I said, when I write my show, Secure, where everybody makes good decisions and are very healthy, sex positive people, they never disagree, and
always,
you know,
wear condoms. Everybody,
it won't be funny.
Yeah, everybody get
and nobody will watch it. Okay, nobody will watch it. Nobody will. It won't be funny. There will be no sex on my show. We'll just have healthy sex positive attitudes. Okay.
Oh Lord.
Every episode of the show will end with a 10-minute PSA on sex, safe sex.
I'm not watching that bullshit.
Well, listen, I'm not planning on anybody watching or writing about it, but I just want to make the perfect show, Secure. That's what it is going to just be about, secure people. They're going to communicate about their emotions. Nobody's going to cheat. Okay. That's problematic. We don't want to have that. Everybody's gonna be really good friends, you know.
Everybody's emotionally mature.
Everyone's gonna be emotionally secure. Everyone's gonna be emotionally mature, and it's just gonna, you know, when people watch it, they're gonna be bored as fuck. But at least none of their sensibilities will ever be violated.
Or
you know,
challenge.
Right? You'll never have to worry about that. Like, my characters won't do things like try to have oral sex with a dude that they are putting a rotation. That won't happen, you know, so you wouldn't have to worry about the shock of, you know, a hilarious cum shot mixed with you know, Issa going home with a thing over her eye. That's not gonna happen.
Right.
Not in my show. There won't be any threesome with white girls either. It's not gonna be awkward one of the possible sums. Okay, it's gonna be a, you know, Lawrence will say, no, I will go to my car, get my wallet, and just pay. It'll only take 5 extra minutes. No problem. No harm, no foul. Then he'll go home, and he'll be cool. You know, that's the kind of stuff we're going to cover on Secure, okay? You know, when he makes that U-turn and the cops get ready to pull him over, he's not going to make a U-turn in my show. In my show, he's going to patiently wait for the traffic to clear up. and make a left at the light and then make a right. Okay, guys, that's what's gonna happen on my show, Secure. So tune in. I'm writing the pilot now, you know, hopefully HBO will pick it up. You know, it's just, people say, well, why is gotta be on HBO? It's not gonna be any sex, because we're gonna be saying nigga a lot. Okay, so I'm keeping nigga in there, because I really do love that part of the show and some of the music selections and stuff like that. But on Secure, please, if you're not happy with Insecure, come watch my boring ass shit. Okay, like, we, I'm talking like, it's gonna be like the Brady Bunch, but with less conflict, because I don't want anyone playing ball in the house. I don't want anybody blaming things on Marsha, no tattletales. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be very secure people having very great communication with no drama. Okay.
I don't want to watch that. And I said this on Facebook and I meant it. Don't let watching too much porn get your ass whooped, because I don't know why people act like women are supposed to respond like porn stars when it come to getting a busting nut in the face. You're gonna know you're dealing with a real human being.
I mean, okay, but that's you projecting, because that's not what happened on the show.
That's me responding to people over responding.
Oh, you know? To the people that are like, oh, just take a little nut on the face. Right, that's right.
Yeah, like, that's my,
you can't get caught up, right, in them niggas. Don't see you doing it though. You can't get caught up with them niggas. They crazy, Karen.
They are.
They crazy. I remember when Issa cheated on people, and like all the all these upstanding intersectional black feminist people I follow, all these like really woke women start being like, ah, oh, nigga can't handle a little bit of cheating. I'm like, okay, so it's y'all turn to gloat. Like, I get it, but I'm not gonna play the game, you know. Just don't, you don't have to play the game. It's y'all got it. I'm not gonna argue with you. I'm not gonna, nope, put out a status arguing to passive aggressively fight y'all. Like, y'all got it, dog. Like, I got these jokes. That's what, right, I got.
Yeah, I got jokes too. That's the, yeah, thing. Yeah,
I got these jokes. I don't really do the, I don't give a fuck about your dick, anyone else's face, or sperm. That's, I only have one face and sperms to worry about, okay? That's what I worry about. Who gives a fuck what y'all doing out here putting out? I think people just want people to know their business. I don't know.
Correct.
Anyway, meet you a woman that do whatever the fuck y'all into, and vice versa, if that's what y'all,
whatever,
yeah, meet you a person that does the things that you into. If y'all sperming in the face, good luck.
Have a ball. That's right. My thing. Have
don't,
a ball.
Don't put them rules on nobody else. Fine. It's a person for, right, everybody out there. If it's people that just want to get bukkake'd every night, that's cool, dog.
It is.
It doesn't bother me at all. It's not my face and not my sperm. That's how I view it. Y'all niggas argue about that shit without me.
Come on.
DK says, Twitter is not the masses. 4 or 5 people on the timeline does not a think piece make. I like Insecure and will continue to watch it until I don't like it. I wonder how old are these think piece authors. I am 44. Yo, that's another good point about that article though. And this is not just that article. It's almost every article now that quotes outrage on Twitter or whatever. They really will find 4 people on Twitter, put their tweets embedded into an article and be like, journalism.
Laziness, right.
I'm not calling it laziness. I'm just saying they're trying to represent a trend that just isn't there.
Correct.
Like, are there people that are like, yes, we should just take it all on the chin? Yes. But are you also going to take time to find the tweets that disagree with your with the point you're trying to make? Of course not.
Right. They're out there too, though.
Right. You don't want to find the people that are like, yeah, I had sperm in my eye and you will be mad. I don't give a fuck if he didn't mean to do it or not. You're not gonna find all the people that say some shit like that, because they don't make your point. You want to present a point where all black women of a certain age agree that sucking dick and getting busted on the face is great. And I'm like, you ain't gonna find that, because it don't exist. Like, not that there's no,
not
women,
no unity,
but there's no, yeah, we're black, we're not a monolith though. There's no uniformity amongst anybody about any topic when it comes to blackness. It's just always somebody that's gonna stick out anyway. And your friends might be one way, but if you wrote a whole think piece about sucking dick, you also might have friends that like, I don't talk to her about the fact that I don't want to suck no dick or have no sperm in my face. So who knows, you know, it's all anecdotal.
Correct.
Anyway, she says, I'm 44. The women on Insecure are 29 to 30. They are not my role models. I should be theirs. People can critique the show. I welcome it, but a trivial nature of what people are critical about, it makes my ass itch. Yeah, editing the ad, this week's critique was like writing a think piece on the Golden Girls and why they live together. They just live together and it works. Yeah, honestly, they should, every think piece on Insecure should really just be called why they still insecure.
correct.
Why didn't they make the right decision this week? Because they insecure, nigga. Fireworks says, RK, please enlighten me. Has society gotten soft or what? Let's tie Insecure and Common Sense for a minute. Insecure is a show on HBO, which I would call a mature channel and a show for the most part. And what I mean by that is the people viewing the program that comes on Sunday at 10:30 p.m., give or take, are mature, reasonable adults. Why does a condom have to be shown and Lawrence and Daniel have to hold a condom, rip it off, and put it on camera to please people? We all know the risk of unprotected sex, and just because it's not shown doesn't mean it's not on. And if it's not on, then that's on Lawrence or Daniel or Five Head, aka Neighbor Bay, Mace, or whoever is fucking me as the viewer. I can only speak for myself. I'm not even thinking about condoms at that point. Mm-hmm. I just want to see where this is leading to. Case in point, the shot scene around the world that Issa Bae took to the face. When I watch other programs that might have violence or sex, I don't go out and think criminal minded or I'm just gonna fuck a woman unprotected. I know it's just entertainment. Am I missing something? That has folks in the uproar. Happy TBGWT day. Happy anniversary. Love you guys.
Thank you.
I know we're right up at the break almost. Okay, we got 3 minutes. Hey, listen. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what one of the things that's very, very interesting about this shit is people flip when it's their thing.
Correct.
With all this shit, this is universal. This isn't just this show. This isn't just sex. This isn't just whatever.
When it's
someone's thing, they get super sensitive about it, and nobody likes to hear that. But it's the fucking truth.
Mm-hmm.
As a person that processes most things in that I see through the lens of humor, this is a lesson I had to learn. Was just, oh, this person loves me. They think I'm so fucking funny until it's their thing. Then I can't laugh.
Right?
Like, I can't laugh at Joel Osteen if that's your thing.
Correct.
But you love me every other time, right? When I'm laughing at other shit, oh my God, Rod's the funniest dude ever. But don't laugh at my thing. You know? And I'm not even saying laughing at you, just your thing. Yeah. I don't have to take your shit seriously. You know? And that shit bothers people when you just go, I don't think this is a serious topic. I'm not taking this very seriously. Or I'm gonna make the joke. And fuck it, you know? But that's how I process it. So the thing I'm thinking about with this stuff is, well, I say people flip back and forth. If I were to say hip hop music has violence in it, are you saying that black people who consume hip hop are more likely to go kill people and shit because the music is making them do it? Almost every last one of those people would say no. But if I were to say, now why does Insecure need to have safe sex on it when adults are watching it who already know about safe sex and choose to or choose not to engage in it? Why does a TV show have to do it? Well, black people have this problem. So are you saying black people need to be influenced by the TV show? Are you saying that when you watch Empire? Are you saying that when you watch Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder? Because I'm not a fucking idiot. I'm just black.
Right.
And I don't need to be babied or told what to do. And these other shows don't have to do that for their white audiences. Mm-mm. Why the fuck the black audience always gotta have a positive role model shit? It's a trap. It's a prison. You put us in a box and then tell us as creatives, stop. And it is anti-blackness. And I will not back down on that. Because the only reason you care is because of a black show. It's bullshit. You know? And so that, it frustrates me to see people pull out that reasoning, because any other time they wouldn't. They don't go, I watched The Wire and I want to sell drugs and kill people. Because you know that's ridiculous. Like, no one said that. But you try to pull that shit with black stuff and I'm like, dog, yeah, I know what you're doing. You're hiding it behind, it's like how people hide behind their kids.
Right.
Like, oh, you know, the children will see it. No, they not. It's 10:30 at night on Insecure. Cool. Are you using condoms, you grown ass 40-year-old person, or are you not?
Right.
I just want to know. Because if not, you're just coming down on the show because it's a black thing that everybody's watching and you want to be the one who pointed out how it's quote unquote problematic. We'll be right back after the break. We got to go to the next session. Didn't that sound professional, y'all? We'll be right back. Coming up,
right? And I completely agree with you, but I think for me, like I said, I didn't watch the first season with everybody else, so a lot of the comments and shit I didn't see because I didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I mean, the conversation is like half the reason people watch it, I think. But I just, like I said, not every critique of it is worthwhile, but you know, and I understand it's. Look, it's a game. Like, let's not get twisted. If you review this show for a living and you need to have your brand, your woke credentials, you have your Twitter followers, you have the things that you talk about all the time, you need to make that point. Because if not, people go, why didn't you make that point for this show? And da da da. The thing I'm noticing is just, it's not consistent. You know, I'm not seeing you make this point for every show. I'm seeing you pick out this one black show by a black woman. And that irks me. That's all. Like, if people were consistent with it, I wouldn't care. If people were like, I watched Power this week and they didn't use no condoms and I was very disappointed with the choice that 50 Cent made as this is his show. Why isn't he changing? Let's at him on Twitter. Y'all aren't doing that for his show because y'all don't expect shit. Like, it's like people knock a show for trying almost. It's like you get penalized just for trying to do something better, which is the exact opposite of how it should be, in my opinion. Anyway, Cassie says, hey, Rod and Karen, I'm in the same boat about the critiques and think pieces for Insecure. I've stopped reading these clickbait articles to try to weed out the ones with real insight. I also stopped talking about the show on social media. That's a shame because I had to do the same thing. I talked to my sister, my cousin, and two friends exclusively about the show. That's it. I appreciate you, Karen, and Bossy's analysis and breakdown. I agree that it's the hyper-focused critiques are because the show is centered around black women and their experience. Thanks for reading. Yeah, it's just, it's the curse, bro. It's just the curse. You can't, you could be black and successful, but then you have to be black and representative of every black person. And
that's impossible.
Black people don't want to admit that we do that shit to our artists, but we do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I had to deprogram myself of this is not correct. You know, and I watch myself to make sure I'm not slipping into it, because it happens. You know, it bothers me when the only voice of something is, like, for example, it bothers me when I see like the black men who are on TV and they're shitting on Kaepernick. That bothers me because I'm like, damn, it's like every nigga that gets that job except for Shannon Sharp pretty much has to shit on Kaepernick constantly. You know what I mean? Stephen A sometimes, but you know, that voting thing, like, but they have to like get their bona fides for shitting on Kaepernick, but like, so they're promoting that anti-black stance. Mm-hmm. But some of this shit is like, when it comes to creative art, you know, not public representation in the media, but like creative art, we gotta back off and let our people create and understand there's all kinds of myriads of blackness and mm-hmm. scopes and all these different mm-hmm. points of view. The point is to try to get as many out there as possible so we can pick and choose, so we can have a plethora of things to navigate when it comes to what's entertaining us. That's the point. You know, I don't need to make every black artist a rapper.
Mm-mm.
That's how it feels to me when people push these shows to be like, fit my agenda. It's like, no, let that person create. You don't fuck with the show, find another show.
That's my whole point.
There's so many other shows. And you won't feel that way about those shows because everybody ain't watching them. But, you know, that's the thing with popularity, man. Some of these people are only watching the show now because everybody watching the show.
Come on.
So they bringing their unfunny, unwanted ass opinions over there to ruin everybody's party, because you can't have black people partying too hard without having to get a reality check.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and I'm like, fuck you niggas.
Y'all, like, they remind me of, like, the the Muslim brother in every John Singleton film that just shows up and ruins shit. Brother,
mm-hmm.
don't you know the white man wants you to eat hot dogs? Hey man, it's the 4th of July. We just cooking out at the park. We just trying to have a good time. Oh, is it a good time to put a rat, a cat, and a dog in your body, brother? Like, I don't know. I thought I was having a good time.
Right. Then after a while, you know, a lot of times, you know, they get cussed out a few times. Right. Quit talking, because you're going to meet their uncle. Like, I don't give a fuck about your Muslim ass. I seen you coming. Yes, I'm going to eat this hamburger hot dog. Yes, I'm eating this swine, and you going to have to deal, nigga.
Yeah, I think it's a weird way of making everything about you.
Right.
And I don't know how you measure that between people who have, like, genuine critiques and people being like, how can I make this thing about me? But you know, that's what entertainment is now. I'm coping with it and finding my own ways to deal with that, which is one of the reasons I'm thankful for the podcast, because we can come here and talk about it, because I don't want to talk about it on the timeline, because all the people that are, you know, the me people, they're never gonna admit, yeah, you know what, that is what I'm doing.
Right.
Issa Rae created something that all y'all are watching, and despite the fact that I really could just be entertained by it, I'd rather come in and make it about me and be like, you know, in this scene, Lawrence's car, I don't understand. I mean, don't we have enough capitalism in America? And you're like, okay, this is your soapbox. This isn't even about the show anymore. Mm-hmm. Cool, you got it.
We're talking about some shit that's unrelated.
I just think Issa needs to do a better job of writing the show that won't be funny that I want to see.
Right. Or did Lawrence save money on Geico? What the fuck are you talking about?
Right. Right. Anyway, are you living check to check? Yes, almost. Nah, I have plenty of savings too. We had read an article about most Americans are living check to check. 36% living check to check. 49% almost. Now keep in mind, the recommended savings they wanted you to have was 6 months, right?
Right.
Of your salary.
Of your salary, dog.
Like, I guarantee most of us ain't got that.
Mm-mm.
Nah, I have plenty of savings too. 15%. Good for you, dog. Good for you. So that's the number of white people that listen.
Dog, of your salary, like, that's a lot of money. If like this, even if you're making $20,000, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, they expect you to have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, $12,000 just randomly sitting somewhere, but you got motherfucking bills to pay. That's not realistic.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe if y'all wasn't watching Insecure on the white man's HBO, you could be realistic, brother. Then you could save $12,000. What's HBO a month? $10,000, $12,000, $2,000? That's $2,000 right there. See, that's what's wrong with y'all. Out here enjoying yourself like you're not going to die one day. I'm just here to make it all about me. Ari left a comment. If I had known that after 4 years of college, I would be as broke as a joke and still living at home, I would have skipped all that and become a street pharmacist like Stringer Bell in the Wire, even though we know how that turned out. Well, you can't help yourself, brother. Cause see, you out here watching the TV, and what's the TV telling your stupid black mind to do? Sell drugs. Mm-hmm. Keeping notes on the goddamn criminal conspiracy.
Yeah, either you're gonna be a rapper, a baller, or you're gonna be out here selling them drugs.
Either they don't know, don't care. I don't know. Episode 1516, White Wine and Winey Whites. That was the name of that one. Well, yeah, man, I'm gonna miss Wine and White folks, man. The promotion is over. It's like, mm-hmm. y'all had till today to get y'all. I mean, maybe you still got time to get mm-hmm. your discount, trianglewineco.com.
Yeah, we're gonna miss that.
But hopefully they'll come back and we can get drunk on the air with y'all again.
Mm-hmm.
Anonymous says, Taylor Swift is my peeve forever. I used to think Tom Hiddleston was cute until he started dating Tay-Tay. She sucked all the sexiness out of Loki for me. Glad she won her sexual harassment, but still fuck her forever. And Karen was so wonderful just crunching these crackers in the mic. Three heart emoji, wine and whiteness. Yeah, shout out to the people that's gonna be thankful to get the sound quality back on those days, because we definitely was eating cheese and crackers
mm-hmm.
right in the mic.
Mm-mm, and didn't give a damn. It was delicious.
I did give a damn. It hurt my heart, y'all, but I had mm-hmm. to do it.
No crackers
okay.
and cheese.
It was so good. Dana W says, I want to hear more of Karen's take on Happy White Supremacist Remix. That because I'm happy. I'm upset my emojis didn't make it in that post. I wanted to get Karen three crying laugh emojis and three flames. I love Karen.
Thank you.
yeah, after we left, I started thinking of, after the episode was over, more of the white supremacist rap names. Like, Go Back to Africa, Bambaataa.
Yeah! Bambaataa.
Oh man. Mm-mm-mm. Rehorn Cats got me hysterically laughing. Love you guys. Hey man, I fucked up. I fucked up. Shout out to Rich Dow. I mean to Peter Guns. D Ramsey PH Dunn says, I do not repeat, do not co-sign anything Taylor Allison Swift. Hashtag 53% of the show was 5 stars and flames. Yeah, man, I'm going to be honest with y'all, man. I feel like this is a safe space and I can admit it. I'm not that bothered by Taylor Swift, man. It's y'all. Like, I just let y'all slide because the jokes are funny. And I'm not going to defend her because I don't find her to be worth defending. But mm-hmm. she really ain't, I don't know. She don't seem like that bad a person to me. Maybe it's just me, but she just seemed okay. Like, I don't know, like, mayonnaise compared to Miracle Whip, like I'll take it if that's all y'all got.
Yeah,
you know,
prefer Miracle Whip, but she, that's fine.
Yeah, like she not, when I hear her songs I don't get angry, I don't really care. When I see her, like half the articles I see with her are some dope shit, half of them are kind of whack, you know, like she gave money to what's it, Kesha, in that that court case against the dude that she accused of rape, that was also like the manager or something for her, like that was some major shit that, you know, I'm like, she put her money where her mouth was. A lot of motherfuckers talk good on Twitter and Instagram and all that shit and rooting for you, girl, and then they sit up there and they throw and be like, oh, too bad it didn't work out. She put her money out there. Mm-hmm. Suing this dude for pride, like a dollar, just to prove the point, like, you're not gonna grab my ass and just let that shit slide. Fuck you. I don't know. You know, the Kanye Kim shit, she was wrong, but y'all niggas don't like Kanye or Kim. Don't be trying to trick me. You can't trick me on that one.
No, you can't trick me on that one.
Any other article we bring up, y'all be like, fuck that nigga. And then just the one time everybody's like, oh yes, Kim, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I'm just saying, she's not my peeve, but she's far from my fave. But I don't know. I know I'm letting y'all down right now telling y'all this, but she just don't bother me that bad. I don't know what to tell y'all, man. I mean, no more than any other rich white woman that don't really care about nobody, but you know, that's not a white woman.
Come on.
You know what I mean? So I don't know what to tell y'all. I've been holding that in for a long time, y'all, and I feel like we can share here.
You feel better now?
Before I take this week off and not talk to y'all.
Yeah, that's right. We is about to be off a whole week.
You goddamn right I am. A white supremacist record label, racist taking over for the 99 and 2000, says Imani. We got Suge Knights of the Confederates and the Criss Cross Klan. What are we doing here? Yeah, man. I do feel like we gonna have a lot of white supremacist rappers coming out next week. You gonna have Rakim, All Lives Matter. Oh man. Y'all better enjoy this break, nigga. Y'all put out 3.5 days worth of content this month, not episodes. It was 39 of them with premium. I'm talking 84 hours of shows. Don't even look at that damn studio for a minute. You two have been putting up Serena numbers. Wow, I did not realize that.
I just counted a week.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. That's a lot.
Yeah, and that's not, like I said, that's probably not including, we did a bunch of guest spots the past month.
Oh yeah, I was on Single Simulcast last night. Mm-hmm. If y'all check out that, me, Adjective J, Shantae, and of course y'all know Rashani. We were on there talking about Joel Osteen, and we talked about Rachel Dolezal. Man, they got a segment on there where they read from Rachel Dolezal's Book of Lies. Boy, God bless them, because I couldn't do that. I was struggling just last night. I'm like, it's late, I'm ready to go. How much more of this is there? Every sentence, because it's that thing, every sentence you want to, she say something you want to fight about, but also every sentence is that just make the show longer and the segment longer. So like, she'll just say some stupid shit. I'm like, man, what the fuck, how can she say this? Why does, and then he'll be like, yep, we'll talk about it, you know, like a good host would do. You talk about it, and then he goes back to reading. I'm like, is this still happening? What's wrong with this bitch? Like, it's not.
You responded like me? What's happening here?
She's way. Now, that's see, that's my pee. She might be my Taylor Swift. But on a serious note, happy anniversary, Ryder Karen. I appreciate y'all as podcasts, but I love y'all as people. You don't know what it means to see a black couple who not only loves our people as much as you two, but each other. The way you hold each other down and still manage to sound as lucky to be together as the first time you sat down next to each other on the bus is powerful stuff. Just the energy you both put out and always striving to be better people is something I can't even put into words, but thank you. Thank you, bro.
Thank you, baby.
Lastly, the NYC Kidnapping Horror Show. I do it. Not for me, or no one should do it. 0% of y'all said I'd do it. Congratulations. Y'all, now see, that's what I like to see from my audience.
We know our audience.
Now here's the thing, I know it ain't true, cause I know at least one person in our audience that is going, and she told me. And y'all know who it is.
Be safe.
You know, can you guess who it is?
Mm-mm.
Impossible White Man Jay.
That sounds about right.
Right. That's, it made so much sense.
Okay, when you said that, yeah.
Of mm-hmm. course you would do it.
Yeah, have fun. You jumping off buildings like, right. like 007. So I would, this is a walk in the park for you, baby.
Yeah, of course they would do it, you know.
Come on, she done did it all. She done climbed up the mountain. She done jumped off buildings in a single bound. I mean, she does it all.
But 38% said not for me, and 63% said no one should do this. Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, if that hard kidnapping shit at the height of Brooklyn gentrification, wait, if that hard kidnapping shit ain't the height of Brooklyn gentrification, Caucasianicity. Sorry, she used a new one on me. I ain't seen that one. I like to call it Caucasity or Caucasity. I don't know what is. I'm a lifelong Brooklynite from NYC. It's in the broke and burning 1970s to the crack wars in the 1980s through Mayor Giuliani 1990s. Brooklyn was scary as fuck for everyone, especially for Black and Latinos. Kidnappers and murders and abandoned buildings wasn't something you wanted to experience, see, or play with. Fuck this forever. I hear you. That one sounded like it got personal.
Right.
And the last one was our Game of Thrones recap, episode 15-17 with Jenkins and Jones. Put some respect on Sansa's name. Mm-hmm. The real queen of the North.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. John ain't the king no more.
Mm-mm.
He a goddamn Targaryen. So we had 8 comments. All right, let's see what you guys had to say. Amani says, Rob been leading that Sansa bandwagon for years now, and I'm waiting on people to apologize to him like they need to for Secret Empire. Well, Arya hit him with that, my sister asked you a question, man, listen. But I'm mad they spent all this time hyping up Rhaegar as this fine ass dude, and they just ended up sending out an extra with Viserys's old wig. And all I know is if Tormund is still alive, he better make it back to Winterfell before Jaime's ass strolls in there for Brienne. I wonder if Jamie would. I don't think he would.
Now I don't think he would. No. Yeah.
Great recap as always. So much fun having John and Tyler on too. Just got mad all over again. They really gave the Night King a goddamn ice dragon with blue flame to get one white that Cersei just Cuban beat the fuck out of anyway. John, stay stalking it up, right? D. Ramsey P.H. Dunn says, I apologize to Mr. Rob for not believing him about Sansa Stark. She still talks too much. One of the best reviews of the season, 5 stars. I will kind of take that apology because I don't think she talks too much, okay? But I do, I'll take your apology partially. It's not a great apology. Chan says, Rod, I understand why you didn't read my comment last week. There's a lot of shitty people spoiling things all over the place. I wasn't, but better safe than sorry. Yeah, man,
that's what it was. It's nothing.
I'm not
personal,
even accusing
baby.
Nobody, but mm-hmm. You know, until the season was like, I would have been hurt as fuck. I would have read in there somebody like, yeah, and I think, and exactly what happened on the show this week. Like, I'd be mad. Anyway, the finale was amazing. Cersei evil ass gave no shits about the zombie. Duh, right? We got some new disgusting sexy incest. You know what? That incest was not even that disgusting. That's the thing. They didn't even go all there like they do in the first few seasons. Like,
yeah, they've calmed it down a lot.
Yeah, I don't think they had not one sexual assault this season.
Mm-mm, because they had to speed shit up. I didn't realize
this. I don't think it's just for the speed. I think that shit is in them books. Everybody been blaming the showrunners. But I guess the way they read the books, they're like, man, it's hard to do this shit. J.R.R. Martin wrote a whole lot of sexual assaults in this world. You know, I understand he wants to have a grueling, unrelenting world that shows that it's very cruel for women and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they're off book now, and they just at some point they must have decided like, just we don't need to make up rapes to do it. Even the scene where people say Cersei and Jaime. The rape scene by Joffrey's casket, which mm-hmm. definitely on TV looked like a rape to me.
Mm-hmm.
People say the way it's written in the book is more like because it's the inner dialogue of the characters, while on the outside it may have looked that way, but it's not. Like it's no, yes in the book. And they didn't come across like that at all on the TV show. But I mean, how do I, as a director, how do I do that? And not make everybody pissed. It's impossible.
Right.
Like even if you made it no, yes, people are gonna be like, yeah, that was a rape, and y'all put that on screen and act like it wasn't. It just doesn't matter. Like, I would maybe when we get when the series is over and they talk about it,
right?
It'll be interesting to see, especially if this last book that he writes, if it has a whole lot of sexual assault and shit in it. it'll be interesting to see if they were like, yeah, we just didn't want to do that.
Right. And to me, in my opinion, it's actually a good move. And I didn't realize they were saying for like this last season, they actually got a lot of TV show runners to do it. And they was like, oh, no, no, we ain't got time for the bullshit. Let, you know, let's make it quick and fast and skip shit. And okay, they're there and let's get it going. And they didn't have as many episodes. And honestly, I'm glad they didn't, in my opinion.
Yeah. I remember reading that passage about the, we read it on the show because we don't read the books, but it was like, such a controversial thing. We went and found it on the show, and it was like, you know, no, we can't, we mustn't, we, you know, that type of shit. And it's like, yo, man, I don't know how the fuck I'm supposed to direct this shit. And people do shit in books that they can get away with. That It book got children having a gangbang in the sewer and shit. You just can't put that on TV. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think people don't want to part ways with the source material or admit that some of the source material is problematic or whatever.
Right.
So, anyway, all that to say, like, the incest wasn't even disgusting, quote unquote, for this show. Like, they did it actually kind of tame and sensual. Like, I don't even think you saw real nudity that much.
Mm-mm.
It was kind of, you know, I wonder, and like I said, it makes me wonder. Now, it could just be those stars are bigger stars now, and they're like, I'm not putting my titties on screen.
Come on.
But it makes me wonder if they're like, yeah, man, we had to dial it back. It was getting crazy. Anyway, Carcetti finger finally found his rat ass in the corner he couldn't talk his way out of, and sends a shot on all the haters. I'm a slow learner, it's true, but I learned. Come on. Best moment had to be the Hound being proud of Arya that she could take care of herself. My favorite season 8 theory is that somehow Dario will have found himself involved with the Golden Company, if only for there to be yet another scene of sad ass Jorah realizing that there's even more men around that Danny will fuck before she ever think of him. That's aww. Funny. Great episode as always. Glad I went premium recently so I can go back and listen to past season recaps, not just for Game of Thrones, but also The Walking Dead. It's gonna be a long, dark winter waiting for season 8. Yeah, it is. Possibly 2. Kung Fushis, at But Like Dante says, great house greeting house tips from House Collins and Ratchet. Rod, I howled at you saying Euron is Zale from Love and Hip Hop Hollywood, and as a fellow Ratchet scholar, I agree because he stayed ready with the jokes and the hands just like Zale. That's true.
Oh, Lord.
He did everything but say, you made me bleed my own blood before he left. To have some fun, I asked you, who is the Kirk, Mendici, Cisco, and Masika of them thrones? Well, Kirk is 100% Rob Baratheon. He died in like season 1, but that nigga was, I mean, the shit started because he was cheating and he got all them bastards all over the place, and then like he was cheating on Cersei, and Cersei was trying to hold face, you know what I'm saying, like Rashida, and that's what led to all this shit. So I mean, I think I gotta go with for sure Rob is Kirk. Let's see, man, DC's let's see now. Let's see, man. DC is locked up in jail. Man, that's a tough one. Maybe Gendry. Cause that nigga stayed in jail forever. But see, man, DC's also got that family he ain't taking care of. I have to think on that. You know what? Man, DC's might be Jorah, dog. That nigga was in jail for a long time. Got out. Got the rock AIDS, you know what I'm saying? Just can't seem to get right. Maybe I had to think on Mendici's. That's a close one. Cisco, I mean, who out here lying? And Littlefinger probably. That's a lying ass nigga. And Masika. let's see. Masika is probably, man, I see she not queen enough to get Cersei, so it's hard to give her somebody. Oh wait, it don't have to be a dude. Let me think, who stay mad? Masika probably Yara. Yeah, I give Masika Yara. That's close enough. EVE says, I would like to put into out in the universe people I like to see murdered in season 8. Cersei, Jaime, Robin Aaron. Jesus, the baby, the boy, he ain't do nothing but suck on some titties. What gonna kill him for? The Mountain, Qyburn, Varys, Theon, those Septons who made Sam clean that shit. Oh, the not Septons.
I want to see them die too.
what are they called? They're not Meisters.
Meisters, right.
And Brienne's Coochie by Tormund's D, A Girl Can Dream. But that last one we all rooting for. Monster Babies. Really Dark Knight says, this episode of Game of Thrones show, why is the GOAT? That Littlefinger scene had me hollering. And you know what, Rod? We were right about Sansa smoked that fool with his own words. The cat who plays Littlefinger should get an Oscar, Emmy, and a Grammy for that look when Sansa says his name. Y'all know that look. Like when you were fucking around, the teacher called your name to answer the question. That shit was so good.
And you weren't ready to give an answer?
That and that, baby, I'm begging, baby, I'm begging, baby, baby.
What? He got on his knees like, baby, please.
Right? Oh, my God. He was like Key Sweat out there.
Yeah, because he wasn't ready.
Just like Arya, I got my own list of who got it down the show. I can't wait for creepy-ass Varys to get the rest of his body burned up. Yeah, you know, Varys supposed to die, then Melisandre's supposed to die, too. She said she got to come back and die.
She already predicted.
Fuck that dude. Some of y'all trying to say Theon will redeem himself by saving Yara. Nah, fuck Reek yesterday, fuck Reek today, fuck Reek forever with his punk ass. Too bad we gotta wait till 2019 for that shit. Yeah, I want to see Reek die saving Yara. I mean, I'm okay if he saves Yara, but then he need to die.
I think he will.
And then maybe, just maybe, just maybe.
Yeah, I think either he gonna die.
Nah, I'm just kidding. I'm gonna still hate him.
Either he gonna die on, like, fighting, trying to get to her, or either he gonna rescue her and then die. One, two gonna happen. My prediction.
KZ67 and Paula says, great recap episode. Glad Tyler and John were there. Good vibes from them. Mm-hmm. I knew Sansa and Arya were working together. Like you said, Rod, Arya is trained. She knows when to hide and when to be seen. And Sansa was never stupid. Her parents just didn't prepare her for the world. She had to learn from experience. Yo, I was talking about this with a friend on Facebook and direct message, because we don't like talking in front of you guys. Well, you know, the Sansa hive, man. We strong, but we don't like all that bullshit. We like Sansa. We, you know, we plot behind y'all back and then come back when we got the answers. Anyway, one of the things that has bothered me about Game of Thrones, and I don't expect people to admit this shit, but and maybe I'm wrong, you know, I'll accept that, but I really feel like a lot of this shit has been low-key about gender roles and the fact that Sansa is quote-unquote a girly girl. Mm-hmm. I've been saying it for years, not just when it got popular this year. Mm-hmm. I've been saying this shit going back a ways, because mm-hmm. I don't understand how she's considered stupid but Arya and Jon aren't.
Come on.
Because if we're calling them all stupid, okay, if you're just calling her stupid, what the fuck is wrong with you? Arya did a lot of stupid shit, but we called it brave because it involved violence.
Right.
Same thing with Jon. Jon has made so many dumbass decisions.
That's how I got.
I didn't even like Jon. Yeah, I didn't even like Jon for like three seasons, because I was like, this nigga gonna have to die or something to learn that you can't just trust everybody, you know? And then what happened? He got his ass killed. And instead of people being like, what a fucking dumbass, it was like, please bring him back. Oh my God, he's the best. You know what I mean? Arya got a gut full of knife fucking with the that orphan chick,
man. Right.
Yeah, like, because she didn't want to follow their rules. She wanted to, she knew what it meant to join that cult and still tried to leave and be Arya. Like, we didn't go, what a dumbass, when they kill your ass, remember how stupid you were when you lied to the deadliest motherfuckers in the world and then just tried to go back home like nothing, like it's supposed to be all good. No, we knew that they had destinies that were gonna probably work out, and we were like rooting for them to work it out, right? I don't understand how people aren't like that with Sansa. It bothers the fuck out of me, to be honest. I just don't like really engaging in it, because it's like, you're watching a TV show, it's just entertainment, you should be allowed to think what you think. But part of me goes, you think that because she wears dresses instead of fights with swords, you know? Anyway, the transformation of my bae into a queen bitch is motherfucking happening though, before your very eyes. I hope she end up on the throne. How about that?
Me too.
Great recap episode. Okay. Signs of high stuff. Oh yeah, I have been waiting for Cersei. Oh yeah, she had to learn from experience. I would say everything I ever wanted to come to fruition did in this episode. I've been waiting for Cersei and Tyrion confrontation for a long time, as well as the official reveal of the familial ties between Daenerys and Jon. Sad we won't have these recasts till 2019, but at least we got those premium OSR and SMR, and of course TWD and Fear TWD. For those that aren't up on game, premium shows, we have off-season reviews. We review shows once they go off. We do a review rather than mid-season every episode. Too much work, and also sometimes you need to let a story be completely told before you evaluate it.
Yeah, for some of the shit we watched this fall, yeah, we still gotta review one or two more shows before they restart, but go ahead.
Spoiled movie reviews, of course, you guys should know what those are. Mm-hmm. The movie reviews where we saw the movie and talk about everything that happened. And of course, The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead were the last two. They will be back before we know it. Thanks, Ryder Karen. Love you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the poll was, how'd you enjoy this season of Game of Thrones? 87% loved it, 10% thought it was just okay, and 3% didn't like it. Completely fine. It's just weird watching people talk about it online because it makes it seem like everybody just had this agreement that we all hated, and I'm like, that's not what I'm seeing at all.
I loved it.
Like, people that I see talking about it seem to have loved the show
and enjoyed it. Yeah, even though they might have flaws like you do with every TV show, overall most people loved it.
Yeah, maybe it's the book thing, you know, it could be that.
Yeah, and even some book readers, but yeah, you do have a huge percentage, or at least the ones that are very visible out here on that bullshit, but go ahead.
You've been saying that a lot lately, but go ahead, you got it. Keep the party going. Let me just turn this water into wine. Anyway, Corey, wait, if you're saying, I hope you're not saying that because you think I'm like, hurry up. I'm not. Mm-hmm, okay, because mm-hmm, you can talk as long as you want.
No, because I didn't want to disrupt you. That's why I was like, but go ahead on.
Nah, go ahead. I can be quiet.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, and like I said, and I know it's that quote unquote hashtag not all book readers, but it's almost like the Republicans. The loudest ones is the ones you see, so those are the ones that people go, oh, okay, y'all are all assholes, even though, you know, you might quote unquote have reasonable and rational people out there, but y'all are very silent. So a lot of people interact and they say shit, and they have the motherfuckers coming on at y'all wrong, the books is better. Then people go, well, fuck the book readers then.
Right. We did get some voicemails this week.
Wonderful. Is that working?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. What does the time look like? All right, so we got, okay, Tuesday, no, let's see, this one, no.
Yeah, we've been trying to get it together. We don't know what's wrong with it, y'all.
Some people are able to leave them, some people ain't. All right, here's one from Wednesday. And I don't hear shit. Did they pocket dial us by accident?
Oh, is it playing blank?
Yeah.
Oh, there's
a drunk dial.
Maybe.
All right, so that one's not really a message. What about this one? Okay, here's one from Thursday.
Yeah, what's going on, Blackout Kids family? Rod and Karen, how y'all doing?
Great.
This is Travis. I'm calling from the Miami area. I was listening to your episodes. You was talking about the hurricane that's going on in Texas. I have family over there, and the way the news is describing what's going on, they're not telling the whole story. They only seem like they're only sticking to one area of Houston. That's the downtown area. You know, they're not showing the brown and black area section of what's going on, the looting and everything that's going on. And tell you the truth, I think United States is doing a bad job. If it wasn't for volunteers, so where a lot of people would have been dead. You know what I'm saying? So I like to congratulate the volunteers that are doing most of the work and the Coast Guard. So basically, you see the volunteer and the Coast Guard doing the work. But when it comes to the military and the other part of the government, they're not doing anything. They're not doing, you know, if it wasn't for the volunteer, it would have been even more dead.
Mm.
So, you know, for Congress and the, we need to find out, you know, a better way to figure in case of something like this happen again, because you know, we have to, it's like we have to survive by ourselves. We can't wait on the government to help us because they're not going to be around. After Katrina happened, I thought they would learn their lessons from that, but I mean, like, you know, as the time goes on, it's going to get worse. So I like what you guys are talking about, what's going on, and keep up the good work, and
First of all, thank you for calling.
Thank you, baby.
It was a little bit quiet, so you guys might not have heard everything we heard, but he was essentially saying that the response from the government to the flooding in Texas has been terrible. And if it wasn't for volunteers, they wouldn't a lot of people's lives wouldn't have been saved and stuff. And this is the vision that I'm not gonna get into a whole thing, just this is why it's a shame that people decided to vote for Trump. It's a shame that people decided that this is the election we could kind of gamble with and play with. It's a shame that everybody spent way too much time focused on like Hillary Clinton's faults and not on the fact that we need a competent leader of this country. And you know, I won't go as far as saying those deaths are on people's heads, but nah, I will go that far. Those people's deaths are on a lot of people's heads, because just a competent leader, not even a great leader, just somebody that knew how government worked, might have been able to help get like, they would have had somebody in charge of FEMA. They would have had somebody coordinating efforts down there. And a lot of stuff that I'm seeing now, I mean, it's good that people are being humanitarians and a lot of people put their lives on the lines. I see a lot of people putting a lot of money up, but it's not going to change the fact that we don't have a government that cares about people, that will go down there and just do what a government's supposed to do. A government is not a fucking business, and a businessman should never be in charge of a government. A business does what Joel Osteen does and keeps his doors shut because he's worried about his business. You know, I know he says a church, but come on,
it's a business.
But like that's what a business normally does. A business normally doesn't do the right thing, quote unquote, or do the selfless thing. They have profits, they have all this shit. You know, this you know, these motherfuckers get off on cutting budgets that get people killed. So it's just very difficult for me to not make that connection when I hear about the failings of the government and what people had to deal with. So that's how I feel about it. We got some voicemails from Iman.
Hey, Rotten Karen, this is Iman. Hope you guys are doing well. Mm-hmm. I'm just calling in about the episode where you were talking about the think piece about Insecure, and it just, like, I'm tired of think pieces too, because you guys were totally right that they didn't really write, like, think pieces about the show Girls, except in kind of like a let's protect Lena Dunham kind of way, like, oh, Lena Dunham's always naked on that show, is she okay, like, we gotta protect her, in kind of in a way like that. That's the only time, like, I would ever see, like, anything really written about the show Girls, even though I don't watch that show, but those are the only articles I'd ever seen. But talking about, you know, oral sex and everything, it just popped in a few memories for me. There was this, because a lot of different people have hang-ups about oral sex. It's mm-hmm. not just, you know, black women, so mm-hmm. I don't know what that lady was talking about in her piece. Because I was back in college, there was this Master P movie, I don't remember the name of it. I just remember it was like a Master P production, and he was starring in it. But there's a scene where he's, you know, driving this car, and I think I was like 19, so. and then this girl pops up, and I was like, what? Mm. Like, that is unsafe. You cannot do that in a moving vehicle. It's like, you're not wearing a seatbelt. It's just me being innocent. But the girl, she, like, said some backhanded comment because it wasn't.
Oh, she got cut off. Okay. Hold on. Go to the next one. She left a couple more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I see how Skype wanted to be. That wasn't even a full 3 minutes. I see. But anyway, let me hurry up. I'm sorry about the rambling before. So, in the film, he's getting head from this girl, and then she pops up, and she, like, makes some backhanded comment about, you know, oh, I bet your wife or something can't do like that. And he was like, oh, bitch. He's like, I can't let my wife do that. He's like, that's the mother of my children. I love her. I'm like, but she'll cheat on her, though? I was like, that makes no sense. And then there's also, you remember the Spike Lee movie, was it Summer of Sam or is it Son of Sam? I can't remember. But John Leguizamo's character, like, his wife, like, just a thing in the movie, was trying to be more intimate with him and trying to go down on him and, like, please him that way. And he's always, like, really hesitant about it, and he doesn't want her to do it. and you know, she buys a wig and everything, and it's like, oh, it's not even me, and I can do this for you now. And then like she starts giving him head, and then he's like, okay, yeah, it's not you. And then he's like, no, get up. He's like, you're gonna be the mother of my children one day. He's like, I don't want you to do this. I was like, so, and they're supposed to be Italian in the movie, so I'm just like, there are a lot of different people who have hang up about oral sex and just sex in general. And I think if, and just to piggyback on that, like if we have better sex education, I think it also would, you know, allow kids the information to know if they even want to do something or not. Because a lot of kids, they start having sex or they get into, you know, more risky types of sex because they don't know about it, and so that's why they try it. But if they did know about it, then they'd be like, you know what,
Oh, so it's a 2-minute limit.
Oh my god, Ron Ken, you're right. Fuck that. Oh my god. Sky that was just 2 minutes and 8 seconds. You didn't even give me a full 3 minutes. I thought
it was a 3-minute rule. You know what? Nope. I love you guys. I hate
right now. But I love y'all. I'll listen
forever.
Have a great day. I'm out. Bye-bye.
Baby, won't you know, y'all, we don't know what happened. We might just change all together because they did an update, and all of a sudden, ain't no pre-recorded voicemail up front, so it sounds like you just calling a random number. And then we didn't set no limits. It sets its own limits. And we didn't realize it was a little over 2 minutes, y'all. That we did not know.
2 minutes apparently is the new rule.
Right.
That's what I'm noticing. Because two people got cut off for 2 minutes. So there you go. All right.
We didn't tell it to.
Yeah. Anyway. We have a bunch of emails from you guys. So let's get to those.
Yes,
I do feel you on that. It's look, I especially the point about girls, and this is the thing that this is when I knew that like it was 100% or like my inkling about it was right was when I brought up that people didn't do this for these other shows, and people was like, yes they did, and I was like, no, I'm a fan of those shows, I know they did. That wasn't me asking, that was me telling y'all like, because I was like, I have an inkling that this is because of a black woman show made and directed by a black woman, and people identify with it in some areas, so they wanted to be a complete representation of the right decisions and all the good things and all that shit. And they were like, no, that's not it, I don't think people are doing that. I said, well then why aren't y'all doing it for these other shows that I watch? I live tweet them. All these shows ain't old. Girls just went off the air last year. This year even, I think. No, last year. And we weren't doing this. You know what I mean? I stopped live tweeting that show, and even then we weren't doing, like, I could just see from the discussion on the timeline, the discussions weren't around but it wasn't around stuff like what kind of messages is sending to me as a woman. It wasn't around that. You know, I know white feminism is different and everything, but there's also this level of like extra scrutiny on black people that's just not fair. It's not okay.
Correct.
And we shouldn't do it to each other. I get white people do that shit to us and we get mad, but when we do it to each other, I'm like, hey, it's just as bad, man. Mm-hmm. Let that artist be an artist.
Right. And I push back towards it because I'm like, you is anti-black. Just allow people to be them. And like I said, I didn't watch Sex in the City, but black people that watch Sex in the City said that there was like a similar scene with one of the characters, the same thing happened to her that happened to Issa. Yeah. And it was like, I didn't see all these think pieces. They was like, yeah. I didn't see all, and they was like,
now,
you didn't
Sex
care
in
because
the City,
it was a white woman.
Now, Sex in the City was old enough that I can be like, the internet, social media wasn't what it was.
I agree.
But Girls ain't that old. That's why I specifically keep going to certain shows.
Right.
Some of these shows are on now. Ballers is on now. That 50 Cent show is on now.
Yes, it is.
Y'all don't care? Stop acting like y'all care. Empire's on now. Like, just stop trying to act like it's different. Y'all know what it is. Black woman did it, so it gotta be a positively role model. Anyway, emails. Hey, guys. from Lakita, who says, "Dear Rod and Karen, A, I'm afraid I'm becoming a stan because my husband and 14-year-old daughter hear your name so much that they had to ask who you are. My 11-year-old doesn't listen to me at all, so I discuss Rick and Morty, anime, gumball, video games, regular old black aww shit, and your names come up. I'm such a nerd, but I promise to adore and support you guys from afar. I don't idolize you guys, and I know no one's perfect, but good people is good people, and that's all I ever ask of someone. Thank you."
Thank you, baby.
B, my virtual hug in the last email mentioned the crown of collars. It was never my intention to make Jeremy feel bad or feeling misunderstood is my kryptonite. I didn't believe that Jeremy was being ableist or intentionally harmful or anything. Like Rod often says, that particular moment hit my thing. But please believe I've laughed at some terrible shit before and I wasn't judging. I understand we're all works in progress. Yeah, that's one of the things that I do find,
everybody is. Yep.
That's one of the things I do find interesting is, there's always this idea, like, people that, have a whatever, like, you pick the area of whatever you're dealing with in your life. Y'all pick the thing, like, let's say cancer in this instance. Like, oh, cancer has affected my life and it killed somebody I love. They act like that person's never laughed at, I don't know, a joke about some dude being too short. You know what I mean? Or a joke about, like, we all have areas where we ain't shit and areas where we great. I really shouldn't even say shit ain't shit, but y'all get my point. Like, we have moments where we go, ha. We had an episode titled Ha All a long time ago.
Yes!
Cause I was like, I'm gonna invent this thing on Twitter where I say Ha All because it's funny, but it's also like after you finish laughing, you go, oh, like that's kind of sad. Yeah. Like that's kind of bad that I laughed at that.
But the shit was still funny.
But that's kind of like, that's kind of a state that most of us live in. You know, I don't think it's so, you know, and yeah, I didn't feel like you were coming out on Jeremy and I don't think he felt that way either.
No, he didn't.
But that's the thing about these shows, man. We put them out into the world and we really don't know until we know. Like you really don't have, there's certain shit you just can't even think of, and or naturally it just doesn't hit you until you experience it and you're like, oh, okay, I see how that could be a problem, which someone might feel that way, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then it's up to you, because you may just be like, fuck it, I feel like they need to get over it and I'm gonna keep making my joke. That's fine. I know I have my moments where I do that shit. Or you may feel like, I'm gonna look at this from a different perspective, or I'm gonna try to learn something about it, you know. It's up to you.
Yeah, and it varies per person, and depending on what the topic is. And yeah, there are some things I'm like, fuck it, I just don't care. And then there's some things, even because y'all hear hours upon hours, hundreds, probably thousands of hours of us being recorded, you hear us grow, you hear us learn. And like, I know for me, one of my pet peeves was periods, because like talking to Roderick had to change my perspective about that, because if y'all initially heard that conversation, I was just staunchly against it. But it's kind of like people insecure. I was just wrapping the conversation around me and around how I felt and around my personal experiences and around my, you know, negative perspective versus the person's intentions.
Like I said, totally up to you, because I'm not even saying you got to turn around and be like, I'm great. You know, I think people should reflect and understand themselves more, but that don't mean you always gonna make the quote unquote good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes you understand yourself and you be like, I'm still gonna do whatever the fuck I feel like doing anyway.
Right, and make these jokes or whatever it is you were doing. Ain't nothing changed.
I think I was trying to convey that Rod and Karen's response warmed my heart. Not that Jeremy's a bad person at all. I don't think he got that from it. At least not that's from the way he responded. I don't feel like he felt like he was a bad person, or you were saying he was bad.
Right.
I wouldn't have subscribed to Crown of Collars if I thought so, and anyone who feels so strongly about Kirk Frost can't be a bad person, in my opinion. Exactly. Like, can't we all agree that Kirk is the real enemy? Plus, any friend of Rod's, hope I didn't make it worse with my explanation. No, you good. I really think it's absolutely fine. And also, man, like, just in case, if that would have been something that bothered you, you know, you don't have to feel bad about that either. Like, we all got our shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I try not to make my shit anybody else's problem, but we all got our shit, and the world is not wrapped in bubble wrap at all.
No, sometimes you wish it was, but it ain't.
Yeah, sometimes it just, it hits you. Anywho, love you guys as always. Whenever Rod wants to discontinue the violence that his white people covers, just know that I support it. LOL. Tongue emoji face. Tongue emoji face. Ah! Well, that's what y'all say, but the poll told the truth. So
that's what happened when you don't vote. You see,
COVID, right? Y'all thought it was y'all thought y'all could play with the vote. Episode 1514 with Corey Glover, Living Color. Coffee Light Sweet says, "Dear Rod and Karen, I had to leave the live chat early when this podcast was recorded, but I couldn't wait to hear the replay when I got back home. First, I was so proud that I heard Corey Glover's enthusiasm for the show. I was skeptical about Corey being true blue resident of TBGWT Nation, but he won me over when he knew the complete podcast intro, yelled out Bullet Ball Extreme, and sang and clapped to all the games. Yep, he's family now." Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That was so dope.
Yeah, and something I rarely do, y'all. I even went back and I was on the show. I re-listened to the whole show at my job.
Thank you to Corey Glover for taking the time to answer my question about hard rock music. I took the information to heart and will put my money where my mouth is and buy the new album Shade on September 8th. I was listening with a mind open to learning new things about music. Finally, Rod and Karen, your podcast touches more folks than you realize, and your guests from this podcast is proof. Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, I kind of had the same thing as him where when I am a fan of something, if I feel like, you know, it's a podcast or something, and like, I don't want to influence it or freak anybody out. So I kind of play the back a lot on stuff where I'm like, oh yeah, I really like this person or this thing that they're doing, but I'm not going to, I don't know, interrupt it, I guess is the right way.
Right. And then it's one of the things, but I'm put like this. I'm a fan of a lot of other people's podcasts and various different things. Sometimes people know, and then sometimes people don't know. It just kind of varies, you know. And sometimes I'll reach out, I'll be like, hey, can I be, you know, a guest on this show, and I DM and things like that, and a lot of them are just shocked and surprised that I would even take the time of consideration. But I'm like, I actually do listen, and I'm a fan of the show. And I don't know, sometimes it's like I'm just a normal ass person, so sometimes I'm like, I'm glad that how can I say it? Sometimes I'm just glad that people appreciate what we do and that they love what we do. And sometimes I'm still shocked when I reach out and people are just shocked that I would even take the time to ask or consider to be on this show.
And then,
if that makes sense what I'm saying.
Of course it makes sense. Of course. Yeah,
I was kind of thinking while I was talking.
Nah, I do it. Like I said, I do it too sometimes. I'm just like, oh man, I'm not going. Anyway. I'm sure your podcast has many fans and admirers, supporters across the world who know you are and are very glad that you do what you do. Thank you both for making the difference. Hashtag keep going. Hashtag build an empire. Hashtag the best is yet to come at Coffee Light and Sweet. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah. Steven writes in, dear white on white women violence, dear Rod and Karen, as an advantage of being blind is that you listen more closely so your eyes don't play tricks on you. Now, I know the woman who did the beat down claimed to be white, but she was either passing or channeling black woman rage. The language she used was straight out the hood. After the fight, I swear she said, nigga, give my shoes. Steven. Yo, Steve, for real, there's a part of that. Like, I listened to the audio on Three Guys On, and I'm like, if I was playing Guess the Race with just the audio,
I'd have been wrong, because
I would have missed the fuck out of that one,
because she flat was like, hey, I'm taking off my stuff just in case you want to come over here and get frogged with me, I'll be ready.
Like, I won't be shocked if that woman got some little biracial babies running around or something. Yeah. She felt like a friend of the family.
Right.
The way she hit that. She was like,
what you not gonna do is disrespect people that I love. That's what you not gonna do.
Like, I'm not saying that anger is a trait of blackness. I mean, it is, though. We deservedly angry. It's mm-hmm. fine. But what I will say is that, the way she was used, some of the vernacular, like, was she like, bitch, you stupid? I'm like, maybe.
Like, you know, like the beautiful Pastor Celine said, you got a right to be mad, and that's normally a lot of black people.
Yeah, I got a lot to be mad about.
Mm-hmm.
Allegra says, and that's why y'all the best. Hey, Karen and Rod, episode 1513, I appreciate the honesty you two came with regarding black people and rock. I was and am a person who loves rock and alternative. This is usually my go-to along with funk and soul. I usually try to keep my emails from getting too personal because who cares about my story, but I need to give y'all just a little background. I grew up in a black ass family who were dancers and crazy music lovers. I would get made fun of by other black people for loving rock music. I was always teased about not being black enough. The thing is, I never wanted to be anything other than what I am, a black woman. I was raised that blackness and black women in particular are everything, and so it confused me that blackness could not be everything in the eyes of the community, right. Anyway, just wanted to say thank you to both of you for being open about your feelings and being true to your empathic hearts. Knowledge is evolution, evolution gives power. Allegra. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, baby.
I remember when I first heard like rock music my brother used to listen to, and I used to be like, oh nigga, you listen to that white shit? And then like every once in a while I just leave it in the CD player and listen to it, and I'll be like, this shit kind of jamming. I gotta buy the CD for myself. And that was, you know, that was actually how I started listening to music that wasn't hip-hop and R&B, you know, for a long time. That was all I listened to. So and even still, it wasn't like I branched into it heavily. It was just like a few songs, you know what I'm saying? It was a few albums, like Green Day. I had an album of theirs. I had that double album that's with the weird name. It was like Melancholy and Infinite Sadness. Did I get that right? Did I tank that? Let me see. I feel like
And like you said, some of them I only heard because they were so popular. Mm. You know, certain groups, you know, like Guns N' Roses.
Oh, Arrow, I did get it right.
Cool.
Yeah, I never was into Guns N' Roses and Aerosmith and stuff, but
I
knew their music through, right, like other stuff.
Right.
Although I do remember Love in the Elevator was with heavy when I was at summer camp. Like, that was my jam. Like, niggas was listening to NSYNC and New Kids on the Block. Oh no, not in the NSYNC. It was New Kids on the Block was heavy that summer. And I was always listening to rap, but also I remember being like, yo, this Love in the Elevator song is the shit though. Like, that shit went hard,
you know. And I think for me, I'm not even gonna lie, the first time that I ever thought about or considered rock and roll was that Run DMC
Walk This Way,
right?
Yeah.
And I was like, who is I'm keeping it plain. Who is these white boys and why is they rapping? Why is they over here hollering at Run DMC? Okay, this shit is flames. All right, I like this.
Yeah, that, I think. That was my but response. See, that's another one of those hip hop rock crossover things. Like I said, it's interesting that I just never crossed over to just rock. You know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah, that's the thing. I never actually crossed over, but it made me kind of aware of these groups. And there are some groups that are so iconic that if you listen to any type of music, you would constantly see them topping the charts and stuff. So I was aware of them, but just never went over there to actually get into right. their discography.
But it's still fuck Axl Rose over here though.
Come on.
Yeah, and if you can catch these hands, Axl, I need an apology. Okay, just saying, I only learned about it last week, but I already ain't forgot. Okay,
come on,
let me see you on these streets, Axl. Hurricane Harvey from Houston. Nehemiah says a big thing with this is that we bunkered down for category 4 hurricane that decided to kick his feet up and just chill while pulling endless amounts of warm moist air causing days of rain. We typically flood and go back in a day or two. This was never expected. Oh yeah, I hear you. I mean, and all the people that supposed I guess from the government, like the federal government, that could help, but just not around.
Mm-mm. And you're talking about the hurricane, and they said I think one of the hurricanes, four might have been hurricane they're talking about, they said that they actually made an evacuation. I think it was Houston, and it was just ridiculous for it to kind of just leave rain and bypass. That's another reason why they said they didn't do evacuation, because it was like, hey, last time we did this, it was ridiculous, bumper to bumper, people was running out of gas, we were having to pick cars off the road. That was like, it just was not worth it.
Yeah, it's a major city. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the top 10 in the U.S. So it wasn't going to be easy to evacuate anyway.
Mm-mm.
Marissa says, dear Rod and Karen, Love the show as always. I wanted to address those tired ass think pieces about Insecure. When I saw these threads and such demanding kind of use, I was too through. For one, you're right, we are not hearing this on other shows. How about Ballers? Isn't that show about agents and athletes sleeping with randoms? We damn sure know condom use and athletes can go together like peanut butter and mustard. I understand we as black people have expectations on portrayals and not always being up to par, but some folks just need to shut the fuck up and just watch the show. Bomani had an Insecure based hashtag called the Black Civil War. It's rarely entertaining discussions. It's all disrespectability chokeholds on shows where you can't just be discussing the show. Much like Scandal starring a black woman, more think pieces about don't you be sleeping with that white man, black girl. It was so many Negro bed wench think pieces from Ashy Twitter and the Pick Me crew. Insecure is Issa's show, another black woman. Look at Grey's Anatomy. That show featured doctors, and in the first season they had an episode of an STD outbreak in the hospital, and condom use still wasn't a priority before that episode or after. It's a show about messy ass doctors. How to Get Away with Murder is another one where the Latina character is pregnant and the possibility of who the daddy is not certain. That show is nothing but sleeping with each other in between covering up murders. Don't remember a single condom mentioned or even asked by fans. Yeah, it only comes up with the gay storyline, but as Reggie said on What's the Tease, like, that's because, you know, it's almost like a low-key homophobia that any storyline where two men sleep together has to be, like, alluded to. Like, we are definitely having safe sex. We are using condoms, okay, America? You know, like, he's like, that's kind of low-key fucked up, but mm-hmm. I don't want to put words in his mouth. At least that's what I took from what he was saying.
That's what I heard too from what he was saying on the show. Yeah.
Sex in the City, another one where sex is in the title of the show, safe sex practices. You know, this is the other thing I want to admit too. I mean, I want people to kind of understand too. Some of this shit is fantasy, essentially.
Yes.
And it's kind of the porn thing where people watch porn and they don't really want to see condoms in porn, and people will make arguments about safe sex and all this shit, but then when you actually do a poll of people don't like porn with condoms on it, and they wouldn't talk about it in public that way. They wouldn't make an argument to your face, but if you let them make a go vote in the fucking, you know, anonymous poll, they would be like, no, I don't want to see a condom, because it's a fantasy aspect to it. So even if the idea was they're having sex and condoms weren't literally explicitly not used, even if that's what they were saying they weren't, but let's say they were, and it's a TV show, the actors aren't really having sex, no one got pregnant, no one got, you know, like,
right,
it's a TV show, guys, it's, you know about safe sex, you're an adult,
that's my whole thing.
Use what you've already learned.
Who are these impressionable children that are watching this fucking show that y'all keep thinking that y'all writing for?
I watch TV shows where there's action scenes and no one has a seatbelt on in the car, and it like, to me, it's just funny at this point. It low-key annoys me, quote unquote, but I get it. Like, it's a TV show. No, they're not actually in danger.
Mm-mm, they got a green screen behind them.
Anyway, Sex in the City is another one where sex is in the title of the show, safe sex practices, and the episode where Samantha Date wanted her to have an AIDS test. That was in 6 seasons of the show, and that was the only time it was ever referenced. There's nothing but this tired black woman policing with the woke crew. Another thing that is a show on HBO, a network that gave you The Sopranos, Oz, and the woke crew, just needs to go watch PBS or C-SPAN. Also, this needs to see condoms for viewers who plenty of them aren't using condoms regularly or at all is another segment of hypocrisy. Yeah, I was about to say something fucked up and I'm not gonna say it, Marissa, but you probably know what I was gonna say. By the way, the show is called Insecure from a woman who became popular from a web series called Awkward Black Girl. I love the fact that there aren't any Mary Sue walking perfection, strong black women, indestructible trope. Every black character doesn't have to be a role model, Nobel Peace Prize winner. Love y'all, Marissa from the Bronx.
Come on.
Yeah, that's another thing too, man. Like, people say, why everybody on these shows gotta be a strong black woman? I'm flawed, I'm possible. And then all of a sudden, blah, out.
You get that, everybody complains.
I don't want to see it, she too flawed. Why can't you make her a perfect black woman that makes all the right decisions? Impossible White Man Jay said, white people shit, episode 15, 16. So I just got to the spot in the wine show where y'all talk about the haunted event in NYC. So I'll be in attendance in Red Hook, Brooklyn to be kidnapped with what I assume will be 7 other random white people. Look, I'm just testing the limits of my impossible white manship. As you can see below, it is a ticket for one, because I'm not even going to bother asking my fiance, best friend, or other random folks to attend this with me. I know better. I just hope you come back.
That's what I was about to say. Be safe. You might not make it back.
Oh my God. This shit is really $95. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Mm-mm.
Jay, what is going on?
You know
on?
People to kidnap you for free, baby. Mm-mm.
Oh my God. Kidnap you for
you
free.
You be safe.
You might not come back to kidnap. Ain't nobody kidnapping nobody for free. Now that I think about it.
No. You walking down the street, somebody can randomly pick you up and run away with you for free.
It won't be free. That's what I'm saying. I'd rather give you the 95 and come back home. You pay for the return, not the kidnapping.
Ain't that the truth?
Adam,
that's what your $95 in return shipping fee.
Adam says, three-piece Aria episode. Dear Roddy Karen, I just wanted to say thank you for the show with Corey Glover last Sunday. I wanted to say here in the show, I felt like I got my life back to you guys. I've been a Living Color fan for close to 30 years. When I listened to the first album, Vivid, I was hooked from the start. A few years ago, I met Vernon Reed at a music lecture. He had talked about how he formed Living Color, how he met Corey Mudd-Skillings and Doug Wimbush and Will Calhoun, and his life, his influences playing with, and projects and bands he played in. It was awesome and surreal meeting him. I had seen Living Color dance in Detroit, and they put on a great show. If you've never seen them in concert, I highly recommend it. You won't be disappointed. I could go on and on, but I wanted to say thank you. Hearing one of my favorite singers on my favorite band, or my favorite bands, being on my favorite podcast, just blew my mind. I wanted to say thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lee says, hey Rod and Karen, just want to thank you guys for some hilarious awesome episodes you did with Corey Glover from Living Color. As a guy who was born in the early 80s, raised in the 90s, it was a complete and tremendous joy to see a band like Living Color pop up on MTV. When I would watch the channel nonstop as a kid, I was so elated, one, to hear that Corey was going to be on the show, two, that him and the other members of Living Color were huge fans of the podcast. As a young black drummer who had just started learning how to play, seeing Will Calhoun play was everything. Ryder, Karen, you guys always say, we're just giving your opinions, but real talk, these opinions are opinions we need to hear more of, and of course, we need to champion and support these voices at every turn. These are the things you guys do every day. You walk the earth, and I have to thank you for always being you. P.S. Thanks for playing the video of the racist white woman getting her ass whooped by that other white woman. A two-piece ass whooping is always a good thing. LOL. Peace, love. Trey _ Swindu at Artur Ronan. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
And Angela Davis quote to end the email, progressive art can assist people to learn not only about the objective forces at work in society in which they live, but also about the intense social character of their interior lives. Ultimately, it can propel people towards social emancipation. Angela Davis. I'm reading her book right now. That's an eloquent sister. Allegra says, great. Thanks for the great interview. 1514, love the interview with Corey Glover. I really love the energy. I was geeking the fuck out just listening. I love how Corey was hella hyped about playing the games. 1515, man, I wish my teachers were just as creative and innovative as that teacher rapping about geography back in the day.
Come on.
I would have learned so much if that shit was set to music. I love being black too. 1516, regarding the rights of transgender people, it's amazing to me that cisgender, heterosexual, and some homosexual people of color cannot empathize with inequality and brutalization of transgender people, using whatever excuse to not support their fight, but it's the same fucking fight. The right to truly exist without judgment. It is the right to live their life. How is someone who needs to live their own life different from the overall fight that people of color are fighting? It is not different. I too hope that one day society can get the fuck over the hangups and move on. One does not have to be transgender to relate to that struggle in some way. Thanks for all that you two do, Allegra A. I wish I had it in front of me, but I had this quote that I not quote, but this passage I had highlighted in my Kindle from Angela Davis's book.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things I highlighted, was just how
she's an author. I'm assuming she's an author.
And Angela Davis, she was an activist, author, professor. Okay. A lot of stuff.
That's like I've heard she that was name on the, before.
Yeah, she was a Black Panther for a little while. You know, like, remember I said I wanted to learn more about like socialism and stuff. Mm-hmm. So she's one of the people that
it's kind of on that list.
Yeah,
right.
Like she was actually on the communist list for a while. So yeah, but she's one of those people. So I was like, let me read her thoughts on the world. And I read, I'm reading about her, thoughts on Ferguson and like some current events and stuff in Palestine and how she relates it all and stuff like that. And it's you know, it's been interesting to learn.
Yeah. Because you made me think, I was listening to Code Switch, mm-hmm. and the lady who wrote the book called, what is the White Rage? I don't remember her name, but that's the name of the book. And I went to go look it up, and I didn't realize that we had already had the book. So I started reading that, and the same thing. She was talking about Ferguson and things like that. And it's causing me to challenge myself because, you know, sometimes when you read certain authors, and not in a bad way, sometimes they could be very vocabulacious. So I'm glad that now I don't have to look up a dictionary. I can just Google on my phone what words mean. And once I put those words in a complete sentence, I was like, well, goddamn, that's what that means. And it's been interesting, challenging, and looking at the world through her eyes and her perspective.
Yeah. So, but yeah, she had this really good point about intersectionality, and she was basically like, if your movement isn't if your movement isn't encompassing everybody, like if you got, like, you can't be free and have a transphobic version of freedom.
Come on.
You know, like that's kind of what she was at with it. And I was like,
that's not true freedom.
Right, like that's how I feel too. Like you can't have a misogynistic version of freedom, because it's not, then everybody ain't free.
Right, and that's I think that's why my feelings are very strong about when it comes to the quote unquote intersectionality of things, because my freedom is freedom for all blacks. Like, no matter where you fit on the spectrum, no matter what your sexuality is, no matter what your religion is, like, I'm like, hey. Me fighting for my freedom is also fighting for your freedoms. Right. You know, like it is for everybody to be quote unquote free and not oppressed. And a lot of people's quote unquote freedom comes with stipulations, but then that's not freedom.
Yeah, I just like I said, it just was okay, cool. I found a passage actually while we were talking.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I quoted this yesterday. So it says the decision was indeed historic, but the struggles against homophobic state violence, for economic rights, healthcare, etc., continue. Most importantly, if the intersectionality of struggles against racism, homophobia, and transphobia is minimized, we will never achieve significant victories in our fight for justice. This is yet another reason why it's essential to develop richer and more critical vocabularies with which to express our insights about racism. The inability to understand the complexity of racism can lead to assumptions, for example, that there is an independent phenomenon we can call black-on-black crime that has nothing to do with racism. Mm-hmm. So the development of new ways of thinking about racism requires us not only to understand economic, social, and ideological structures, but also collective psychic structures. One of the major examples of this violence of racism consists of the rearing of generations of black people who have not learned how to imagine a future, who are not now in possession of the education and the imagination that allows them to envision a future. This is violence that leads to other forms of violence, violence against children, violence against partners, violence against friends and our families and communities. We often unconsciously continue the work of larger forces of racism, assuming that this violence is individual, and I don't know, I actually need to look up the definition of the word, but it's sweet, S-U-I, generous, G-E-N-E-R-I-S, assuming it's Latin. Anyway, point being that, we definitely, it reminds me of how I feel about just like black life in general. That thing I was saying that Kendrick was talking about, he was basically saying like, we kill each other because we don't value our lives, and it's deeper than just white people. Right. Like, it's not saying that it's not to blame us, and maybe that's where unique. Okay, that's what that means, unique. Like, it's not to blame us necessarily, but it's to say that this shit affects us so heavily that we do it to each other. And that's what that means. It's the way that I, when I say like, black trans, when there's this huge debate that I don't want to get into, but it's this idea of like black people are more homophobic or transphobic than other people, and I don't necessarily believe it. Mm-mm. I don't believe it in the way of like you walk up to a black person and they're just like, I hate gays, you know, whatever. Not that that doesn't exist, obviously it exists. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's more than white people. I don't know. I think white people wouldn't tell you that. Mm-hmm. But they would also vote against gay interest. They would also get rally money to make sure that laws get passed. They would also take millions of dollars and put it into African governments to make sure that they kill gay people over there. I don't know, because their influence is deeper, right? But what I do know is we don't value black life. So if you're black and gay, whoever is in proximity to you is probably more deadly to you no matter what.
Correct.
Whether it's a white person, black person, whatever the fuck, they will forever, like, your life's not valued. If you're a woman and you're a black woman, black femmes, your life isn't valued. So whoever's in proximity is a danger to you. You know what I mean? So does it make black men more misogynistic? Does it really matter when you're a black woman?
Nope.
Does it matter when you're a black femme? I don't really have time to decipher that shit.
Come on.
I'm just trying to live. So if my killer is gonna look like me, you know, if my killer's gonna have the same skin as me, then to me it doesn't fucking matter whether or not the big statistical argument is just that or other. It's just a danger. And I think when we accept this idea of like there's a level of freedom where I get to still be homophobic, we also accept that we're going to continue to kill people that are gay. We're going to continue to kill people that are trans. We're going to continue to kill our women. We're going to continue to brutalize our children if we accept that. And I'm trying to convince as many people that can hear my voice, we don't need to accept that. You have to be, some of this shit you do have to be all in on. You can't just be on some like,
right,
I don't care. You don't get to not care and still, like, you can say that, but you don't get to not care and still feel like you're not part of the problem. You are absolutely part of the problem.
Yes, you are.
Like, it has to be a transforming of the mind and of the culture that we're in. It's the only way to change it. There's no middle ground on some of this shit, you know? And either you care that people are going to die because of your beliefs, or you don't.
Right, in the same way. That's equal to racism. It's a lot of white folks that go, I'm not to blame, but they sit in silence and go, I don't care. People are dying. You're doing the same thing. In my mind, like, I don't see any difference.
Yeah, people be happy to say they don't care. Like, it's a big thing. It's a big joke to a lot of people.
Right.
Like, I can't wait to not care. Like, it's funny to me too. Like, oh, I love when I see old black people that just don't give a fuck no more. Like, it's funny to me too, but at the same time, like, I honestly do not want to strive to be a person that doesn't care about other people's humanity, man. It's not a goal of mine. You know? Anyway.
Yeah, I know I joke and about being old and not caring, but my thing is not caring about certain things that actually tied me up, that actually prevented me from being free. That's the part. Still gonna care, still gonna love, but as you get older, shit that used to stress you out, shit that you used to worry about, shit that you used to think was the end of the world, the older you get, the less and less you realize it didn't mean shit, and you tied yourself and wasted years and wasted time worrying about shit that at the end of the day did not affect nothing.
John writes in, Dear Rod and Karen, oh my God, when I saw the name Corey Glover pop up on the show description, I almost lost it. Living Color was my favorite band as a teenager, and their music inspired me to pick up a guitar and drums and to play music semi-professionally for the past 20 years.
Wow.
As one of your white listeners, shout out to the other three, hearing you all talk about blackness, pride, and diversity of black experience, etc., I frequently thought, wow, I wonder if they've ever checked out Living Color, because I know rock isn't your main music style, their lyrics are so focused on the same stuff you always talk about. I mean, they were writing Black Lives Matter anthems back in the 80s. Check out some of their early tunes like Funny Vibe, Open Letter to a Landlord, Which Way to America, and Pride for some pretty relevant examples of just how ahead of their time they were with their cultural and political commentary. Anyways, that episode was so much fun. Corey is a very funny dude, so he fit in great with the show. It was wonderful hearing the discussions about music and just listening to you guys have such great fun exploring your culture. Also, that white lady racist beatdown analysis was hilarious. when they do come to NC, you should definitely go see Living Color live. Yo, we're gonna make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
They tear shit up on stage, unlike any band I've ever seen. They absolutely kill it, and usually without a whole lot of production, dancers, fireworks, etc. You won't regret it. Keep up the great work. Love you both, John. Thank you,
baby.
Let's see. Emil says, "Dear, hey, Ryder, Karen, happy TBGWT day.
Thank you.
I'm unsure about how to observe this day. Is it a day for somber reflection like Good Friday, or a day to get crunk like MLK day? Get crunk like MLK day.
Yeah, get crunk.
Whenever in doubt, just get crunk, and then we'll rectify later. This abstinence only education stuff is a no-no in our house. We have 2 daughters, 7 and 9. A 9-year-old has already gotten a sex talk. We did it because the boy in her class told her he wanted to give her sex, his phrasing.
Right. Not give it to him.
The world ain't waiting for these parents, by the way. Mm-hmm. They out here on your children.
Come on.
Because these other parents ain't waiting.
He gonna give it to her.
Right.
He probably don't know what the hell that means.
Right. He don't know shit about no damn sex, but some shit he done seen on his phone.
I heard somebody, another parent say around him.
But you gotta watch these kids. We doubt he knew what exactly he was talking about, but we explained to her what sex was. It did not use euphemisms for genitalia. Mm-hmm. We kept that shit scientific. No pee-pees and wee-wees, but penises and vaginas.
Come on.
My wife started going down the clitoris road, but we had to pull back on that part of the conversation. You had to pull back the hood on it. Anyway, maybe at 16 we can go there. Our philosophy is that the more information they had, the better chance that they have at making informed choices. And if we start conversations early, then hopefully they will be comfortable talking about that shit later on. Also, because the world is fucked up to girls, we need them to know that if someone makes them do something they don't want to do, they can talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
Abstinence only education only serves to cover sexual assault. If you are in an environment where you're expected to be judged harshly for being sexually active, you will be less likely to report an assault. It is astounding that is even an issue in 2017. Yeah, also a lot of that shit comes down to like they cover sexual assault if a nigga jump out the bushes, but if it's just like a family member or a friend or something, or you go on a date, oh, now you're just a whore, so that you can't even trust their whole sexual assault discussion.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I know, like, for me, the first time how can I say this? The first time I was intimate, I had one family member that asked me, "Was this something that you wanted to do?"
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else even asked that. Everybody else just assumed the worst, but they was like,
"Right?
Did you consent? Was it okay? Mm-hmm. Do we need to go file police reports? Like, let me find out about you."
Right.
Versus just making assumptions and name calling, all the other stuff.
Yeah, well, you about religion,
right?
The misogyny, all that shit. Like, yeah, and like I said, it's people that won't even talk to you about sex in the first place. And then, oh, you went out here and did something, you experimented. Well, now you're a whore.
Come on.
Just like that, you done lost all the, you know, all your innocence and all the esteem of your family. Like, that we can't be making that a cost that girls have to pay. I love the episode with Corey Glover. I had to push back on one thing he said. He pointed out that overseas people appreciated American music, whether it was hip-hop or rock or poppers, as all-American, and not really differentiating. This was not the case in Jamaica. African-American culture got way more traction than general American culture, whether it was music or television or movies. I guess it's our common history of bondage. I will say, though, that Living Color made me less ashamed of liking hard rock. When Cult of Personality came, it was an eye-opener. These cats were black as fuck singing this hard rock shit. They didn't try to exist outside of blackness. As a matter of fact, if you go down the music rabbit hole, you'll realize that hard rock is just something else that was stolen from blackness. Led Zeppelin's entire catalog is a crime scene of stolen music. Even their fucking cadences were stolen from Robert Johnson and Howlin' Wolf. Part of the reason why I have no patience for the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, that their whole steez would have been non-existent were it not for black music. I hope you guys have a great time in Seattle when you get there. I wish I could go down to see you, since Vancouver's only 2 hours north of there. Thanks, Emil. And
Thank you. You
know, I don't know that he was speaking for every place, but he was just saying throughout his travels generally in the world, people don't necessarily see a that much of a difference. I'm sure there's some places that, you know, would be exceptions to the rule. Long overdue. Falcons Diva writes in, greetings Queen Karen and Rod, happy TBGWT day. It's your girl Falcons Diva. It's been a while since I've written. I've gone back to my trifling ways of being behind on the shows. Stop. As such, this might be long, I don't even know. Charlottesville, I was at the airport headed to DC for the Blacksonian when I looked up and saw that crap on the TV. All while walking through the museum, that mess was in the back of my mind. Thankfully, I avoided the news while in DC, so I don't know. I didn't know about that idiot that drove into the crowd until I was in the airport heading back. Your Charlottesville episode was one of the best. Unfortunately, it's also why I fell behind because it took me some time to listen. Karen, I admire your growth regarding white women. I really do. I'm trying to get there, but recently realized how far away I am. I've been using this brother as my financial advisor for almost 10 years. About 2 years ago, he brought in a white guy. This dude is nice enough, but periodically I check back with the brother to make sure he wasn't passing me on. Well, ultimately he did, and at first I was semi-cool with it. It was still this brother's office, that is, until the white guy hired an assistant. Then I got a call from a white woman to schedule my annual meeting. I decided it's time to move my money. God is working on my heart in this area. Game of Thrones. I watched my first ever episode this season. After hearing your recap of episode 4, I went back and watched. It took a second to figure out the characters, but that episode hooked me, sort of. I started watching episode 5 before the recap show, but I was a little lost, so I watched after the recap. So I plan to watch episode 6 after the recap, but y'all made me stop listening and go watch. When I saw there was going to be an ice dragon, I almost lost it. I watched the season finale before listening to the recap show, but I can't wait to hear what you guys said. Inspired by Queen Karen, I'm not planning to go back and watch from the beginning. Your recaps have served me well. Hey, you listen to these recaps, you pretty much know everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people take it and use it as a coffee cooler talk. I mean, what a cooler talk.
I'm saying show. You can follow the show. You don't actually need to go back and watch. You can start watching it live. All you need to know is what they look like. And then once you know their names, you're going to be like, oh, Tormund. Okay, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of TV, TBGWT has me watching Legends of Chamberlain Heights, Vice Principals, Game of Thrones, Snowfall, and The Walking Dead, maybe. Rod, I'm slightly mad at you for getting me to watch Ballers again. That's your fault. Everything I've said is said not to watch that show.
Oh, Ballers is terrible. I told you, the only reason why people watch it, because they were like, oh, well, we got to wait for Insecure.
You will not put that evil on me. I've told everyone with ears, do not watch that show.
Right.
You said it was good at the premiere party. Fuck, I did. God damn it. It was good. First episode was good. The pilot. Then it went back to trash.
After that,
it
went back to normal.
I don't vouch for that show. I will never lie to y'all on this mic, though, okay? The pilot was good. That show is not. Mm-hmm. All right? So I watched the end of last season, the first two episodes of this season. Then I remember why I stopped watching. LOL, I laugh every time you mention how bad it is. It's so terrible. So I got as far as the aria of the three-piece with Corey Glover. I cried tears of joy periodically throughout the entire episode. Listening to you guys fan out on one another made me so happy. I'm so happy we could provide that, man. Real talk.
I'm glad some of people enjoyed it.
We need
episode.
More shit like that for the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I need more feelings.
We need to go find some more folks.
We need more feelings like that for the next 4 years. TVGWT is like that dude in college that doesn't know how fine he is. LOL. Your humility makes me love your guys even more. I love when Corey was like, don't try to act like y'all ain't internationally known. I listened to the feedback show. That was another moment that made my eyes sweat. You guys deserve every accolade you receive. I'm so proud to be part of the TVGWT family. Now don't be like that dude in college when he finally realizes how fine he is and makes me pay $1,000 for VIP at the next Negro Con. Oh, NegroCon should have VIP. That's what I'm about to now you're giving me ideas.
Oh, Lord, you're going to go to Korea and sit down with Chris and Brandon and be like, yeah. How can we do VIP?
Invite some people back to the green room.
I know, so we can sign shit.
We sip Chris, y'all sip piss. I would never do that.
Ever. We just fucking with y'all. Never do that. We would never do that. We're just going to be sure we get a bigger venue, y'all.
Excuse me, don't talk to the talent. I love y'all. Happy anniversary and enjoy your time off. It will give my tribal ass time to catch up. Yeah, you're going to need it. This episode long as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
P.S. Did Karen even get her passport? Yes.
About yes. It took me long enough. Yes.
P.P.S. You don't have to read this on the show. Well, what's the name of the restaurant? I don't mind telling y'all the name of the restaurant with the crab fried rice. It's called Riley. It's like R-A-I-L-A-Y. It's a space between both of them. I'm coming up later this month for the Bruno Mars concert. I've been wanting to try that place. Oh, go get you some. That crab fried rice. Magnifique.
Mm-hmm.
It passed the Cocoa Cutie test.
Yeah, it did.
Much love and stay blessed. Let's see what else we got. Latoya says Corey and FEMA. A-Rod and Karen, I just wanted to drop in and tell y'all how proud I am of you two. Y'all are out here doing big things and you need to be recognized for that. I'll admit I'm a huge lurker, but I've been a fan for years, and this week you blew my mind when Corey got on the show. I was a big fan of Living Color when I was a kid, and Code of Personality was my jam. But more importantly, the convo that you and Karen had about rock music and black acceptance was really good. It was something I struggled with as a kid. Thank you for that. I wanted to kind of give you some inside details on FEMA. For the majority of us, FEMA is a detail, so they literally pull us off our normal job and put us on the phones. FEMA didn't actually get activated until this Wednesday, a solid week after the storm began.
God damn, are you for real?
It's bad, y'all. My calls usually involve tears and desperation. There's a lot of confusion and people need to be informed. FEMA isn't quick. Help can take 7 to 10 days. So people really need to use their state, local services, and Red Cross to take care of their family. There have been tons of donations given, so be sure to stay on social media like their governor, mayor, city, county, and state, Facebook, and Twitter. Please help your fam connect with these services, and don't be ashamed to ask and get all the resources you can. White people aren't. As a taxpayer, you are entitled to this. Also, yes, I didn't even think about that.
Yep.
Do not let black shame stop your ass from getting help.
Come on.
I know that shit that as black people, we go through a little extra layer. Like, you unemployed, but you don't want to be the unemployed black man on unemployment. You put in, you're a taxpayer, you have every fucking right,
and bills don't stop, baby.
Right, get your motherfucker, get what you need to get to live, to survive. Yeah. Fuck that. Like, yeah. I felt that way when I was unemployed, and I'm not that type of nigga, and I still remember being like, fuck, I'm the unemployed black guy right now. Like, I'm going to meetings, I'm going to hang out with my friends, and I'm the black dude with no fucking job. These motherfuckers been unemployed before, since I've known them. We've been friends for years. That shit was in my head, you know. I was not stupid enough to not get that unemployment, though. Best believe that shit. Run my motherfucking coins. I put in on them taxes, nigga.
Right, and that's the thing. People fail to realize you put in, but also I think that's an American thing. American society, our workforce, the way we think about work here is so fucked up. Yeah. We really believe into working yourself to death. We really believe in not taking vacation days. Overall, we really believe in, you know, you taking your personal time off is a motherfucking problem, and it makes no goddamn sense. That's why we're overworked, tired, exhausted. A lot of times companies don't get the best out of their employees because they don't allow them to actually rest. You know, I think we read in some countries how they pass laws that be like, motherfucker, if you're off the clock, don't be picking up no emails, don't be answering no phone calls. That law needs to be passed here. There's a lot of people that often I'm like, why the fuck I'm getting an email from you? Nigga, you ain't here today. But people feel like they always got to be there.
Yeah, my point being, it's an extra layer when you black, though.
Right.
So don't let that shit stop you. If you need, especially something life-threatening like this, get assistance.
Right.
Also, remember, this is a government agency, so the name of the game is to deny, deny, deny. You are always giving your appeal rights if they deny you use them. Anyway, I apologize for the length of this letter. Listening to people in pain makes me passionate in getting the word out. Lastly, it was so wonderful to meet you to an awesome con, especially you, Queen Karen. When you said you love my show, I had to walk away and get myself back together. It's Latoya from Secret Sauce.
Yes.
Over at MTR Network. You are definitely one of my podcast idols. Love y'all, T.
Yeah, that's the truth. Like I say, I'm a fan of so many different people. And, you know, because I've been listening since the beginning, because I don't separate the feeds. I get the one MTR feed, so I just listen to whatever comes up in the feed. And I truly, baby, I really been a fan. If y'all not on it, get MTR Network, download the app and listen, because she brings a lot of black women on her show, because it's specifically black women oriented. Mm-hmm. And she has introduced me to drawers, writers, game developers, like, you name it. And then you can go find their product, find out about what they're doing. Like, it is mind-blowing, the detail of her show. And, baby, I'm a big, big fan.
Yeah, I can't wait to go on there and get interviewed about Paperclip Box so I can erase a lot of black women's work. Now, I know what y'all saying. Rod, you're not a black woman. That's true. But it can't stop me from erasing the work that they do in these streets, okay? So
you still on that?
If you need, yeah, Paperclip Box. Oh, you just because you think we went away just because we don't ever do nothing and you don't never hear about us? Mm-mm. Anytime it's time for some black women to get credit, I will be there.
Y'all like the Green Party?
Yeah, I well, no, whenever it's time for black women to get credit, that's when I show up. Like, I'm gonna put out a book 2 weeks before Leslie and Marissa book come out. Paperclip box: how to be a even better ally by not doing nothing. It's gonna be real short. Forward written by Stacey Dash. Shayna says, Tavi TVG WT Day. In May of 2015, I stumbled across a mention of your show while listening to Two Guys and a Gal. They spoke of this dynamic married duo that gave you 5 shows a week, and I subscribed as soon as I could. And let me tell you, I was hooked from the very first episode I heard.
I've heard of them before.
Well, now I think it's Jade and XD. So,
okay.
Yeah. But yeah, they, I think it used to be Two Guys and a Girl, mm-hmm. Gal, and that's a dope show too. Another show on my list of people I'm like, y'all, I'm gonna get them on. There's 1,000 people on that fucking list. Yeah, now
we're gonna have to go back and make a list and actually start checking people off.
Podcasts were a new medium for me, and within these nearly 2.5 years, you guys have revolutionized my listening experience. You have entertained me, opened my mind, made me laugh until I cried, and introduced me to so many other talented content providers, and I can't thank you enough. Ryder Karen, you are a true inspiration that will reign forever as my favorite pod parents. Much love and continued success for the years and years to come. Shayna, thank you.
Thank you.
Kenneth writes in, happy anniversary and happy TBGWT day. Hi, Ryder Karen. I just want to say to you both, happy anniversary and happy TBGWT day. I'll definitely be picking something up from the store today. And thanks again for all the work you do in making this show and this network as awesome as it is, and also sharing parts of your lives with us, Brandon. Be touched. Thank you,
baby.
Appreciate you, fam.
Mm-hmm.
Last one. Angela says, TBGWT feedback show, Game of Thrones. Oh, this Game of Thrones feedback. All right, let's do it, because I know y'all won't wait 2 years to hear this. Hi, Roddy Care. I missed your live Game of Thrones recap, so I'll listen to it later. Things I know, that after Bran Stark told Samwell Tarly that he's a three-eyed raven that knows all things past and present, it didn't make sense to me that Bran thought Jon was a bastard of Dorne with the last name Sand, and that Sam had to tell Bran about the secret marriage of Rhaegar Targaryen and Lyanna Stark. Bran didn't seem to have a clue, asking Sam, are you sure? And I'm still stuck on the fact that Jon Snow's hair is black instead of being white hair like the Targaryens. Yeah, something's up. I don't know, but he asked, are you sure, and then went and saw the wedding himself in his own vision. Mm-hmm. So I think he's like, he has the, some of these events, he has the ability to tune into them, but he needs to know what to look for.
Right.
With Tyrion lurking in the shadow as Jon Snow's late creeped into Daenerys' room, I too wonder what backroom deal Tyrion and Cersei made. Maybe Tyrion struck a deal to turn himself over to his sister at the war's end in return for Cersei supporting Dany in the Great War. Maybe, but here's the thing. Everybody keeps bringing that shit up. If Cersei betrays him, there's no fucking deal. So, like, because people kept saying, well, in that scene, maybe he's thinking about a deal that he cut for his unborn nephew, cousin, I don't know what the fuck that would be, nephew, yeah. Brother, anyway, but y'all gotta remember, it doesn't really matter if she's planning to betray them before that shit even, like, he gonna not, the deal won't matter. So if that's all it was, then to me that scene is just okay. But if it's something more, like, even if it's just what Karen said, like, y'all niggas need to stop fucking around, this is serious, or if it's as bad as I'm think, which might be some jealousy, either way is, you know, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. Also, we must remember that Tyrion, like Sam, is a voracious reader and probably knows who Jon really is as well. The story hasn't supported that yet. I would need them to, I feel like they would have to put something in there to make me feel like he knew, and that's not enough.
Yeah,
like, they normally do a good job with foreshadowing stuff like that. That would be a really random thing to just be like, and he knew the whole time. You know, not that it's impossible or anything. I'm just saying this is how I would feel about it if we came back and he was like, I knew he was a Targaryen. I'd be like, yeah, that doesn't make sense then, because that should have come up a long time ago.
Correct.
As much as I love Tormund, people have forgotten about the sexual chemistry between Jaime and Lady Brienne. And since Jaime has come to his senses by leaving Cersei's evil ass, there's no telling what might happen between those two. Side note, I wonder what Sir Bronn of the Blackwater is going to do since Jaime has left King's Landing. Ooh, I like that question. Yeah. I wonder if he's coming with him or something.
He might.
Man, I just hope Cersei don't kill him, because he's gonna be, if he in King's Landing by himself, he dead. Cersei crazy.
Yeah, she's like, you betrayed me.
And as far as Brienne and Jaime, I remember that chemistry, but I don't think you know what, I'm not gonna say I don't think. I would like to see Brienne and Tormund get together.
Me too.
More than I would like to see her get with Jaime.
Correct.
Like, I don't need your sesty sloppy seconds, okay? Keep that to yourself. I can't be the only one to notice that with all those holes in the wings, the ice version, the ice dragon Viserion is already starting to decompose, and as the ice further deteriorates, you think at some point he wouldn't be able to fly anymore. Yeah, maybe.
But he's like the people, in my opinion. The people dead, but them people are dead.
Oh, that's true. I feel like he could fly with bones.
Yeah.
Like, if his wings were straight bone, he'll still fly.
Right, just like...
Because the other ones be running. They don't have no muscle and shit.
Mm-mm. So that's truthfully what I think. I think you die, and then you can just do these supernatural things.
Yeah. All right. We always seem to be asking this question, but where the hell is Gendry? He collapsed at the wall. Well, he's supposed to be going to Winterfell. I guess he ain't making it there yet. All the other people fast traveling, this nigga ain't got back. He's supposed to be going to Winterfell, they said, but I don't know. He collapsed at the wall after his marathon run. We haven't seen him since. No, we saw him once. It was when the Hound was saying goodbye to Tormund and Dondarrion, I believe. Mm-hmm. At least I believe we saw him once. I don't feel like going back and rewatching at this moment, but I think that's what happened. One NC native to another, happy 15th wedding anniversary. Karen Arai, Angela W, aka at @ontheglow_up. Thank you. And that's everybody. We did get some packages in the mail, and we want to give them people their props.
Yes. Okay?
Rod and Karen, token of my appreciation for sharing your talent, wisdom, and humor. You guys have been a beacon of light in on many a dark day. Enjoy, from Rosalind Harris at aka at Sirius Moon Knight. And she gave us, let me make sure I got the right thing. Yes. She gave us Steven Universe Art and Origins.
Yes. Baby, I'm gonna let you know right now. I opened up the box, I screamed in the car. Yeah. I love me some goddamn Steven Universe.
She did. It's this book.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the one. Is this the one with the controversial sketch?
It is.
I wonder if it's still in here.
I'm not sure.
They probably took it out after
they,
that.
They
that
may
shit.
Have.
You know, they she.
Yeah, that one was like, I don't want
Rebecca
them
Sugar super woke and don't want them issues. And I know she probably not woke enough, but I'm just saying, she definitely didn't want no issues with that racial shit.
Yeah, I love Steven Universe, and this is my.
But it's like sketches, concept, character designs.
Yeah, I can't wait to go through it. And honey, this book is mine. Ain't no kids getting a hold of this one.
And the other thing we got was somebody sent me The Fate of the Furious. They sent us The Fate of the Furious.
I think it's still.
Blu-ray, DVD, and digital HD. That's how I get all my stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. I like to be able to watch it with or without a disc and on my mobile. And this one came from Michael B. He says, Hi, Black. Enjoy your gift from Michael B. Thank you. Michael B. Jordan, we appreciate you. Nah, Michael B., thank you so much, bro. Thank you, everybody, for really making this a great second anniversary for TBGWT Day, a great 15th anniversary for us.
We thank you for all the love, all the shout-outs across social media. I actually took a bunch of pics of me and you. I had one with just you by yourself, you know, all the way back to the very first picture with the matching sweaters, and that one always kills everybody every time.
Yeah, I will put a link to the store, the new storefront, mm-hmm. on Teespring, in the show notes, and you guys can peruse at your leisure. Mm-hmm. If there's an item or something that y'all want or need or whatever, I will I'll make sure that to get that to you, you know. Just let me know. Mm-hmm. Just let us know, man. I hope you guys enjoy the week that I'm gonna take off, and I will probably take it off of everything, to be honest, but I'll let you guys know. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, premium people you'll get an email if I decide to do anything this week. But everybody else, catch up on the show.
Yep.
Listen to some premium stuff. Go listen to other people's podcasts. Do all that stuff.
And we had a lot of guest spots over the last month, but these you mean.
Yeah, like I said, let us know if you need more items or whatever. Just email us to blackouttips@gmail. All right, until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.